to be here. It's a really good honor to be here at the Sofas Men. And to reflect a little bit on an entire year of Talmud Torah, Baruch Hashem, of incredibly geschmack Talmud Torah, of a deep dive into Kachin, into Menachos, and in Baruch Hashem for myself, could only speak for myself, but I think on behalf of the Chevra, it really was an incredible opportunity to learn together, to connect everyone. You know, I think Shua yesterday that it's rare to be in a room once a week where you have a meaningful conversation with literally everyone in the room on a relatively frequent basis. And that's a very, very special opportunity to be here throughout the year, especially Birshos Rav Rosweig, and for the opportunity to get to know Rav Rosweig more and to learn from Rav Rosweig, not just in Kachin, but in a lot of other interesting conversations that we snuck in over the year. Is definitely a tremendous, tremendous class. I also want to give a karsa tov to Rabbi Packer for learning with me throughout the year, or Sesh and as well. Rabbi Packer was not able to be here at the last minute. He's currently the chief rabbi of the Lower East Side, and unfortunately there was a rabbi that has to be taken care of at the last minute, so he was unavailable to come. But Rabbi Packer, for certainly myself, I think for so many others, is the demos diukno of an ish tam yoshev olam, in the sense that he has been learning Talmud Torah kipshuto yom v'layla mamish all the time, and through learning with him, I really had the opportunity to get a preview of, I think, almost everyone's chabura, who would come over to Rav Rosweig as their own ideas developed as they were preparing, to share them with Rabbi Packer, to get his feedback, to get his insight, which is always tremendous, and for the opportunity for myself to have that throughout the year on every sugya that we were able to see together in Menachos was absolutely incredible. Was a very, very just humbling experience to learn together with him and to gain from his presence and his insight and his tremendous humility, yet breadth of and depth of knowledge was incredible. So the topic for today is Psisas Menachos, splitting up the Menachos. And again, there's Chavra should feel free to take the live demonstration of Rugalach and feel free to split it up and eat it. And also feel free to take the beginning, middle, and end, and throughout. Just, you know, come up in the middle, please. Take your time. And we'll start with the Makor for Psisa. Where does Psisa come from in the context of the Psukim? And in Yirat Hashem, through this sugya, one of the reasons that I became very excited about it is that so many of the themes that are developed in the Yisodos and Menachos that we develop throughout the year come up here in the sugya of Psisa, and the sugya really highlights so many of the Yisodos that a lot of the Chavra touched on in Chaburas, and just through a lot of the sugyas that came up. So Yirat Hashem, we'll see a lot of it. So the Psukim describe the Menachos in Parshas Vayikra and Parak Beis, and begins by discussing the Mincha Solas, and then switches in Pasuk Hei to the Minchas Machlas, and the Marchashas, and Mincha La Machlas, Karbanecha Solas, B'lo B'Hashem, and Matzah Tiyah. Pasuk Vav, Pasos Asa Pitim, that you should split it up into pieces, V'yatzakta Allah HaShem, and Mincha Hi, and you should put Shemen on top of it. It is a Mincha, and Rashi there says, that this includes all menachos that are baked prior to taking a kmitza from them, that they would receive psisa. The next parsha in Parshas Tzav, Parak Vav, brings up psisa again in the context of discussing menachos more broadly, Zostaras HaMincha, Krevosa B'nei Aaron, where the psukim return to menachos in general, and these psukim are darshan by Chazal to be marbe some of the dinim to more broadly than the way that they were specifically applied in Parshas Vayikra, and here in Parshas Tzav, they're applied more broadly. In those psukim about the general broader menachos, there is no mention about psisa, which is noteworthy. In the beginning of Pasuk Yud Beis, v'darisham lo shalemor, ze karban aron ubana v'asher yakrivu la'ashem, v'yom hi mashach usah, sirisa yifas solas, mincha tamid machat tzisa, ba'boker machat tzisa, ba'erev. Ba'orev, that the Pasuk talks about the minchas kohanim. And the pasuk continues on Machlas Bashemen Teose Morbeches Tviena Tufine Minchas Pitim, that it should be some form of baked Tufine Minchas Pitim, and it will be a mincha that is pitim, the same word that is of pieces Takrev Reach Nichoach Hashem, and should be brought as a Reach Nichoach Hashem. Vakoina Mashiach Tachto Mi Banav Yase Osa Chokolam Hashem Kalil Saktar V'Chol Minchas Koin Kalil Tziya Lo Seachal. So the psukim here are discussing what Chazal understand to be referring both to the Minchas Chavitin that the Kohen Gadol brings every single day, And Rav Rosweig talked about that at length at the beginning of the year, and the unique properties and qualities of that mincha, and the way that it is split, half in the morning, half in the evening, and afternoon. But embedded within these psukim is also the minchas kohen Mashiach, that when a kohen is inaugurated, he brings a mincha as well, and the pasuk is referring to both of them within the same breath, is switching off between the two of them. And in that context of the minchas kohanim, refers to the fact that it will receive pasisa. And Rashi over there describes some of the nuances and the way to read different psukim, afhed yotos, that even kohen hedyo will bring the carbon, referring to the minchas Mashiach. Describes some of the dinim on page 2, Malamit Shetun Apsisa, from Minchas Pita, and that the Minchas Kohen as well would require a Psisa. But then certainly noteworthy, as we've seen throughout the Masechta, Kalal Saktar, that the Minchas Kohanim is unique in the sense that Einik Metzas Lios Shiareh Ne'achalim, that it doesn't receive Kemitza in order to allow for the Shiraim to be eaten, rather, Kula Kalal, the entire thing is fully consumed on the Mizbeach, L'chein Kol Minchas Kohen, Shal Nedava Kalil Siyah. So too, any time that a kohen brings a minchas nedava, it is fully consumed. It does not receive kemitza. But nevertheless, it's noteworthy. It seems, at least for this point, we'll assume that both minachos, minchas kohen Mashiach, the minchas chavitin of the kohen gadol that's brought every day, the two of them for now will be treated equally. What does the word mean? What is the word pasos pasisin? How can we understand that word? So we start with the targum. In source 5, batsa yasa bitsuin, they break it into pieces, and that word is very similar to something we're familiar with of bitsias hapas, that any time that we have a suda, especially Shabbos and Yontif, so we have bitsias hapas, which has a certain amount of halachos, but most basically, bitsia means you take a bread and you break it up into the individual pieces. That's described more in depth by the Malbim, Kedarko, who describes the etymology of the word psisim as it relates to similar words and the nuances between the word psisim and other words, and the fact that we could refer to Dadin Sheish Hevdel being pas or being lechem. There is a difference between pas or being lechem. Both words in English would translate as bread, but he says, Shalechem hu ha-shalim. Lechem refers to the full, the complete bread. V'yikar b'kama shemos, shalavai lefi maseh v'tziraso kikar lechem, chal arakik matz. It's referred to in a whole bunch of different words that would refer to a full, complete piece of bread. But however, pas v'alechem abulti shalim, pas is the word that's used to refer to bread that is not complete. Rak shenishbaro niskapel osheinenu b'tziraso ashlema. It's something that has been broken, or it's been folded, or it is not in its complete form. That is the word that we would specifically use to refer to as psisa, to a piece of bread. Piece, even that word, piece itself, etymologically, most likely relates to the word pisim, that it's a piece. So you're taking a mincha, you're taking some that's shalem, and you're breaking it up into the smaller pieces. The chizkuni...
I think all the side in the room would disagree with that etymological comment.
Okay, very good. Pita. Very good. Thank God, Rami, for this chizkuni, which will become a noteworthy, and just to excite everyone for the Divrei Machshava coming up, is that he points out the nuances in the psukim, especially by Yikra, the Nitziv as well. So Avrami pointed this out, points out that there are certain elements of the Avodas HaMincha highlighted by Minchas Solas, and certain elements that are highlighted by the Minchas Chavitin, which will become important for us. The Chizkuni notes it in terms of its Hagasha, and the message he relates from that is in the sense is that by Minchas Solas, it mentions kemitza, doesn't mention hagasha. And he points out that if you're bringing minchas solas, you're not doing so much of an asiyah to it. You're not doing so much action on the minchas solas. So therefore, it doesn't require hagasha. Meaning, it will require hagasha, but the pasuk doesn't need to focus on the hagasha element of the mincha because it's very clear that you are bringing this towards a kadosh baruch hu. Masha ein kein minachos hanefos, where a person is very involved in the asiyas hamincha, and there's so many processes that a person, asiyas adam, person is involved in to create the outcome of that mincha, so it could look like a person is making their own suda and then taking from their suda to give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as an afterthought. Therefore, he says the pasuk highlights hagasha, that the person has to bring the entire thing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to remind themselves and remind the whole tahalich avoda that this is going to be part of the entire process. Again, the first this section, just to give us the broader context of what we're doing here, the table of contents that I put over here just to keep myself organized, We're beginning over here discussing where Psisa comes from, the Makor, so that's what we've discussed, the Psukim so far. Through that, we will lead into discussing the Shir of Psisa, how big a Psisa has to be in terms of also just laying the groundwork of what this is, what we're dealing with, and what you know how it's going to apply to different Menachos, if it does apply to all Menachos, and so on. Number three, we'll discuss Ikov, B'Psisa Sviyachas L'Kmitza. Is Psisa Ma'akev, and does it have a relationship to Kmitza, and if so, how integral and inherent is that relationship to Kmitza? Number four, number four and five, we will go into specific applications and point out the nuances and how the Tanaim and Rishonim understood the relationship that Psisa plays in the context of Mincha Solas. As we mentioned, Mincha Solas already has some differences from other Menachos, as well as Minchas Kohanim. Again, just from looking at the Psukim, we've already noted some of the highlighted difference between the Minchas Kohanim and Stam Menachos. And then through that, we'll lead into the Divrei Machshava to really see the broader view of the entire Maseches Menachos and what Mincha is really trying to accomplish, the way that Lechem expresses Simen Bracha and Klala, the way that Shifas HaMincha in some way relates to the Klala of Nachash, the way that Tzuras Adam in some way is manifest in the Tzuras HaMincha, and the way that Shmiras Torah Mitzvos relates to the Messianic Mincha. So that's a coming attraction to Mirtz Hashem. So that is the discussion in terms of the main sugya that we have in Menachos for Psisa is Daf Ayin Hey, Amin Aleph on Tam and Beis, is the main topic. So we'll just give the first Gemara, the first Mishnah Gemara called Menachos Hanasos Beklitunos Psisa. The Mishnah over here says that any mincha that is made in a kli requires psisa. And the Gemara says, the Melute Mai, right away, points out that this does not actually apply to all menachos. I'm Rav Papa. L'me'ute shtei alech melechem apanim. This excludes the shtei alech melechem apanim. Ton Rabbanim pososus apitim. Mincha l'rabos kol menachos l'psisa. We have a drash that actually includes all menachos for psisa. So yachos shani mar ba'av shtei alech melechem apanim tam lomar osa. So maybe I would include even the lech apanim, the shtei alechem. The pasuk says no, osa, that only all other menachos besides at this stage for lech apanim and the shtei alechem are included for psisa, but not those. The Karen Ora, we're going to see, there's going to be a toso somewhere on the Maram Kamos that discusses as well, points out that this cannot be precise. The Mishnah who points that says kol menachos nasos beklitunos psisa. So he quotes Tosos on Ayadalin, where he says, "Gabi yitzika da'asim lemiute minchas mafet ulonasas pekli de'in tanor mekadesh v'achalek alamim rahachi," referring to another context where asiyasa the kli excludes other menachos. He says, in this context, we can't be medayik from the Mishnah. The kamonachos anasos pekli excludes a minchas mafet. Daha ik a minchas mafet de'in onasas pekli. Minchas mafet is not min lekli v'afilo hachi tan psisa, even so, it would require Psisa, v'odat l'madamar tanur mekadesh, shtani okay, alovade, l'simana ba'amanakta. Tosos assumes this, and it's spelled out by the Karna Ora, that when the Mishnah says, nasos b'kli, it's not dafka, but it's just simana ba'alma, just a simon for the type of menachos that will receive psisa, but there are menachos that are not nasos b'kli, which will still receive psisa. So that's a little bit about the Makor. And just the very beginning basic of describing that this does not apply equally in all contexts and in all menachos. So topic number two, Shir Psisa. So that leads into what is the Shir of the Psisa. And at this point we'll go through a run through of the Gemara. The main Gemara, as I mentioned, Ayin Hei Mabiz, is really the main sugya of Psisa. We'll see it also comes up earlier in the third parak. But we'll begin with this Gemara, just to go through the whole Gemara quickly, and also as Derech HaKdama, to see the overview of the main issues that the Gemara brings up, and Nimirtz Hashem, through the Chabura, will explore some of the main ones. So the Mishnah says, Minchas Yisrael kofel echel l'shnai m'shnai m'arbo mavdil. A Minchas Yisrael, you fold it by taking it and folding one into two, and then two into four, u'mavdil, and then you split it. Minchas Kohanim, the mincha from the Kohanim, kofel echel l'shnayim v'shnayim l'arba v'eino mavdil. You fold it one into two and then two into four, but v'eino mavdil. You are not supposed to split it. Minchas koy Mashiach, l'hayim akafla, and the minchas koy Mashiach, that is not split. This is all according to the Tanakhama. Already, what jumps off the page, in light of the fact that we started with the psukim seem to be treating them somewhat equally, so we'll have to figure out if and why there are differences, as the Tanakhama says there are, between the minchas Kohen Mashiach, the mincha that the Kohen brings the Minchas Kohanim, which is, for now, we'll leave ambiguous, but the general Minchas Kohanim that the Tanakhama says is folded one into two, two into four, not split, as opposed to the Minchas Kohen Mashiach, which wasn't even folded at all. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Minchas Kohanim and Minchas Kohen Mashiach ain't ba pesisa, that it doesn't receive pesisa, mimnei she'ain bahen kemitza, because it doesn't have kemitza. That's going to be the discussion of the relationship between the two, that since it does have kemitza, Rabbi Shimon says, it's not going to have pesisa either. V'chol she'ain ban kemitza, ain ban pesisa, no kemitza. They go together, no pesisa. The kulan posts in kezesin, and all of the menachos that get pesisa, the shear is a kezias. Says the Gemara Tanur Rabbanan, Pasos Yachol Shnayim. So when it says Pasos, I would think that you split into two, Tamalomer Pisim. E Pisim Yachol Yasana Pirurin. If it just a Pisim, so you think you should keep going until you make it into crumbs, which the Malbim, I didn't say it inside, but the Malbim also points out Pirurim is the stage beyond Lechem, that there's Lechem, Pas, and then Pirurim, you break it all the way up to the crumbs. So don't go that far, says the Gemara. Tamalomer Osa Lepsisim Velo Psisa Lepsisim. Split it up into its pieces, not further into its own season, not an area I plan on describing, but just to be ma'orer, the Gemara is a very similar drasha that Noah pointed out by the Nesachim. No, not by the Nesachim, by the Emurim. The Emurim, they cut the pieces of the Emurim into their pieces, but not the pieces into its pieces. Just an interesting possible parallel. Again, not the direction I'm going to go in, but just l'orer leva ma'inim. So says the Gemara, Haketzan Minchas Kohan, Minchas Yisrael, Kofal Echle, Shnaim, Vishnaim, La'arbo, Mavdil, the Minchas Yisrael, 1 into 2, 2 into 4, split, Minchas Kohanim, Kohen Mashiach, Chaya, Mekafla, the Minchas Kohanim, Kohen Mashiach, you would fold it, Vechule, but Vahana, Tzan, Lohaya, Mekafla, we have a mission that says, don't fold it over, Amaraba, Eno Mekafla, La'arbo, Ava Mekafla, Shnaim, don't split it up into 4, but just split it up into 2. So we already see a modification of one of them, Minchas Kohanim, that it's being split, it's being folded, not being split, and maybe not even being split the full way, only being split into 2, not into 4. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Minchas Kohanim, Minchas Kohen Mashiachim, Bam Sisa, the next stage of the Gemara, Rabbi Yosef, Hai Chavitza, this Ba Perur and Kizayas, that a Chavitza, which again, the Mefarshim Rashi and others say is some type of a combination of crumbs and bread and something you put together into something, to Isba, Perur, and Kezias. If in it, the crumbs of it are Kezias, Mevarchan Allah Hamotzi Lachem in Aretz, it would still receive the bracha of Hamotzi. Ilasba, Perur, and Kezias, if the Perur are not a Kezias, so Mevarchan Allah Bari Mine Mizonos, you would make Mizonos. I'm Rav Yosef, Mina, Minala, where do I know this? Titania. Haya Omeinu Makrev Menachos B'Yerushalayim, someone who is standing and being Makrev Menachos in Yerushalayim, Omer Baruch Shachiyanu V'Kimanu, you make the Bracha Shachiyanu, discussion in the Rishonim who that's referring to, whether it's the Kohen, Makrev for the first time, whether it's the Bailim, etc. But not our discussion. Nalam La'achlan, if you now you take it to eat, it would be the Kohen, obviously, Omer Hamotzi Lachem in Aretz, you would say Hamotzi V'Tznan, the Kulam Sisan Kezayis, that all of the pieces are a Kezayis. So that's how I know that if the pieces will add up to a Kezayis, the brach will be hamotzi, since he's making hamotzi on the menachos after they were split up and they come together. So Amar le'abayel tana debe Rabbi Shmuel to Amar mefarach anach machzir le'saltan. There is a shita, Rabbi Shmuel, who says that you don't just split it up into the pieces like the Mishnah said, but you keep going anach machzir on le'saltan. That you take the mincha after it's baked and keep splitting it up all the way until you make it back into a flour. So maybe you want to make hamotzi because the crumbs are much smaller than a kezayis. Maybe that's correct. But Tanya, no. Liket mikulan kezayis va'achlu and chametzu anish karis and matzahu adam yotzi bahani dechavas of a pesach. The Gemara rejects that. Maybe in this context of is bishay erson where you then brought it back to make it into an isa. Yihachi heichi dekatanya lo v'lu shachlu mikdech as pras v'bishay erson shachlu mibayla again. Details that we're not going to focus on, that perhaps there would be a difference in terms of the bracha if it's ba milachem gadol, if this had originally come from a bigger piece of bread, and now it's a smaller crumb, so maybe it would still maintain its bracha of hamotzi. So lemaskana mahave Allah, or shizomar filipur and shein ban kazayas amar rabba vudiigo to risa dinama alaya. That's it'd still get hamotzi as long as it still has the shape or the appearance of bread on top of it. So that's a basic overview of the Gemara. Again, a lot of issues that we could dive into. We'll dive into some. But at least for the discussion we want to start with, of the Shir Psisa. So we'll note that the Mishnah started off, at least in the Tanakhama, by saying that the way you do Psisa is you take it, Kofal Echa v'shnayim v'shnayim l'arba, folded one into two, two into four, Umavdil by Minchas Yisrael, Eino Mavdil by Minchas Kohanim, and perhaps the nuance that the Gemara even builds up further for Minchas Kohanim. So Rashi says, Kofal just means exactly Kofal, folded over Chalachas, the Shnayim Mishnayim L'Arba, and then Mavdil Mishabra Hainu Psisa. That Mavdil, you break it, and Rashi at this stage says that that is the primary expression of Psisa. And then Vikulan, Rashi over here, gives three different understandings of what it means that Vikulam Psisim Kizasim. That last line of the Mishnah, where it says that all the Psisim are Kizayis, so the issues are, number one, is that only a continuation of Shitas Rabbi Shimon, the Rabbi Shimon who was pointing out something about the Minchas Kohanim, so is he also pointing out that the Shir Psisa will be different than the Tanakhama? The Tanakhama, presumably, you fold it one into two, two into four, whatever the Shir comes out, that's what comes out, it doesn't matter. But according to Rabbi Shimon, he says, no, maybe you have to do something else, you have to split up into a Kazayas, that could be one option, or another option is, no, this is reflecting Divrei HaKol. Rashi will give these three explanations. The Mask of the Kulam, source 11. Shetzrichim psisim mekaflan shnayim ledalad vedalad leches veches letezayin ashiyu psisim kezayin. He says, what do you do? 2 into 4, 4 into 8, 8 into 60. Keep splitting it up until what? Ashiyu psisim kezayin, until you end up at the end by having the shir be kezayin. The Kulam psisim kezayin ininacher. So that's explanation number one. You just keep going. According to the Tanakhama, it's the Divrei HaKol, and you keep going until you're going to end up with the Shir being Kizayis. Number two, in Yinachar, Bekulam, Psisim, Kizayisim. What does that mean? Sheyachal, Leposason, Ashiyu, Apsisim, Kizayisim, Avopachos, Me Kizayisim, Ein Yachal, Leposason. That, what does it mean? You're allowed to make this the Shir of the Psisim all the way down until a Kizayis. That's the minimum, but whatever comes out after 2 into 4, 4 1 into 2, 2 into 4 would be fine. And the third idea that Rashi says, "Vekadamri yukulam psisim kizaisim, shaya osam in esaron eser chalos." You would make the esaron into eser chalos, and we call chala v'chala arba psisim v'lo haya b'chol pas ala kizayis. That you would somehow the ratio would apparently turn out right. That by splitting it one into two and two into four, when you start with an Isaron, again, this is why bringing in the demonstration maybe would have been a good idea to figure out exactly how the shir comes out. Someone was, again, I don't have a good mathematical and ratio brain, but someone, I think maybe Yoni, was trying to cheshbon all out, but we also had to account for the fact that there's going to be Niloshos Beposhrin, there's going to be Mayim in there, so how much, what shir of Mayim is going to come out, maybe you have to account for how much Mayim you put in based on ultimately getting to a Kazai, so you have to be very precise in how you're going to work everything out. At the end of the day, after you split it all up, you're going to be left with Kizayis. What do you just do? What? Echel Mishnayim, Mishnayim L'Arba? Those pieces will then be a Kizayis, according to the third explanation in Rashi. Those are the three ways Rashi attacks it. Again, saying that this opinion reflects the Re'akol, V'kulam Sisim Kizayis. The Shir is precisely Kizayis, it's a minimum, or the first idea that Rashi said is that it's precisely you have to keep going. Keep splitting up. The Echel Shnayim Shnayim L'Arba was not Dafka, but you have to keep going until you end up with the Shir of Kizayis at the end. Rashi Ksavyad gives a very different explanation. He says, V'kulam Sisim Kizayisim, Sisim Dakos Kizayis, that the minimum Shir is a Kizayis, Rabbi Shimon Ka'amar V'tarati Pligi. He assumes that this opinion only reflects the Sheet of Rabbi Shimon, and he argues on both on the point of the Minchas Kohanim, and also on the point of what the shear of the psisa is going to be, that the Tanakhama says you split it one into two and two into four, and whatever comes out, that's the shear. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, you have to end up with a kazayis, however you're going to work that out, but it's only the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. And the different mefarshim on the Mishnah that I have in the next few sources give different explanations. The Rambam Perash Mishnayis sides with the first idea of the middle idea in Rashi, that lo te pachos mikazayis, you shouldn't have it smaller then a Kazayas, etc. And then the Rambam actually in Perash Mishnayis says something interesting, which I'm not going to focus on right now. The Bar Tanura also agrees with Rashi on the top. who says that this opinion reflects the Re'ekol, that you want to, and actually sides with the Rambam as well. You actually first make a Kazayas and then split it up. Different interesting explanation. Very good. Rashi in Menachos and Hemavis also points out, Tom Lomer, Pisim, that how do we know that, is there any basis in the Psukim for the way that you're doing Psisa? So Rashi says there is. When the Gemara went through the Drasha of Pasos Asalpitim, Pisa, you know, Velo Psisa, Lepsisim, etc. So on that, Rashi comments, Dematzi Lemichta Tasena Pasos, Viksiv Pisim. What does that mean? Dimash Meloshnei Pasim Yoser. That you're splitting up into two additional pieces. So Rashi there actually says that there would be basis in the Psukim for the way that you're going to be splitting it up. Rashi there, on the commenting on that Gemara, sides with one of the explanations we just mentioned and says it in an even stronger way. Tam lomar osal psisim, that you're supposed to split that up, it into its psisim, but not more. Shasa osal psisim, you make that into its psisim. Tahinu echel shnayim ubeis ledalid velo yoser. Velo yoser. So according to Rashi on the Gemara, so it's actually very bedafka, and it rejecting the idea of it being kezayis. But now at this point, Rashi is pointing out that it's going to be very bedafka based on the way the psukim present psisa. Bedafka ech l'shnayim shnayim l'arba. Good. Velo yoser mepsisa l'psisim l'peirurim. Rashi in on umavdil v'hadr kometz law says that you split it and then afterwards take a kometz, but don't do more than that. Why? Because if so, you'll be making your pisim peirurim. You'll be making the pasim into peirurim. So that's the first overview of a little bit about Sisan. We already, in that last Rashi, is going to be the segue into the next section, where Rashi is connecting the concept of Psisa, as we already saw once or twice, to Kmitza. He says that Mavdil, right? Mavdil Rashi, in one line in Rashi, defines that as the Ikar Psisa, as the Havdalah, separating the pieces from each other, not just folding it over, but then separating them. He says, and then Vahadar Kometzla. And afterwards, we're going to take a Kmitza from there, and that will lead to the next section, Ikav Bipsisa, V'yachas, L'Kmitza. Is there in Ikav Bipsisa, V'yachas, L'Kmitza? Again, so far, nothing, you know, nothing too major, unless anyone has any major rejections or suggestions or whatever. But then we'll go on to
Rashi Ikav, yeah. The reason
okay, good. Well, we'll see more about that, yeah. We're definitely going to see more about how that's related to and how that comes together really here in the next section. So this is where we're going deeper and deeper. We're laying the groundwork in Amir Tashem. We're gonna touch on a lot of exciting things. So the Mishnah mentioned that there are two main places in Menachos I'm aware of that the Sugga comes up, Ayin Hay and Yudches. So Yudches, the Mishnah, is also was a very exciting Mishnah for me for a different reason, for my first Chabura. So it all comes together. Mishnah says, Lo Yatzak, Lo Balal, V'lo pasas, that if you don't do yitzika, you don't do belila, you don't do psisa, v'lo malach, it was the previous chabura, v'lo hene, v'lo hegesh, or shvasam pisa merubos, v'lo mashchan kesheiros. The Mishnah says that if you miss any of these stages, you miss psisa, that's going to be fine, the minchul will still be kosher. Rashi says, lo pasas, shnemar pasas, so pitim, he refers to our psukim, avakad, the minchus machvas, yitachsiv, v'adin l'chol menachos, hanefos, tchila, this, you know, psisa would apply by all menachos that are baked first. That all of these come as tenchalos. The mitzvah leposan kulan. It's a mitzvah to do psisa on all of them. The acharkach komet. It's a mitzvah to do psisa on all eser chalos. This process of echel shnayim shnayim arba on all eser chalos. You're going to be splitting all of them up. The acharkach komet. And afterwards taking a komet. Aye. So what's the Mishnah talking about? V'zeh. Imlo pasas ella kede kemitza kasher. Mishnah, says Rashi, means that this person, there's a Kohen who's doing the avoda, if he doesn't take psisa ella kede kemitza, he only breaks up the mincha for the required amount to take a psisa kasher. So Rashi is very much linking psisa to kemitza and saying that lechatchila there is psisa bechol mincha. Bechol eser chalos, b'di'eved, the Mishnah says it's still kosher if all I do is break up a piece that's enough for me to take a kmitza from, and if that's all I do, that's going to be kosher. Rashi in the next Mar Malkam also connects it also to the afia, which will be noteworthy. Lachar afiyos and posan v'komets. After you bake them, posasan, you do the psisa, the komets, and then you take the kmitza from that. The Bar Tanura says a very similar thing to Rashi. The Chidushim Ariach also says something very similar. That shalosh shavar menachalos rak mechala achas shivar mimenachaticha, that only you, from one chala you broke off a piece, kidei kmitza, in order to take off a kmitza, da kmitza akorach achzarach. For sure, you need kmitza by menachos and akmatzos. So you have to do that. The after shalosh shavar mechalachas kidei kmitza. You have no other option, rather than breaking off at least part of the piece in order to do kmitza. The way that the Chidushim Ariach again. Similar to Bar Tanura, all adding in a slightly different angle, but again, linking into the psisas hamincha into the kmitza, and without a psisa, you're not able to do kmitza in the chiddush, the mishnah. What's kasher b'diavad is not doing psisa on the entire mincha, which is lechachila. Even parts you're not going to take a kmitza from, but only from one part to take kmitza would be kasher. The Tosos Yantif is bothered by this and puts the counter pressure, and just before the Tosos Yantif actually. Just one thing that I have not got clarity on this issue yet, and I'm curious to hear if Chavra has any thoughts, is I haven't gotten clarity on whether this means that the Maisa Kmitza itself is the Psisa. Is that possible that I put my Yad into the Chala, I grab a Kmitza, that Kmitza is Kmitza o Psisa b'vas achas. You're both breaking a piece off, which is also your Kmitza. Or no, even Rashi means you're not allowed to do that. It has to be a two-stage process. You have to first break off a piece, and then you go, and with all the dinim of kmitza, Yoni Rabinovich talked about it when he was talking about all the din of kmitza, so then you have to talk about it. Then you have to do kmitza, yeah. The Lashon certainly indicates that way. I think yes in the Lashon. The way that others are presenting it, I think it's less clear. But I haven't been convinced one way or the other.
Okay.
Yeah. If you're convinced, that's great. It's fine.
Just to clarify, I don't know if it's what you were just saying, or if you're going to touch it, but as far as the relationship between Sisa and Kmitza, like, is it, I don't know that it's so clear from Rashi whether or not Sisa is a, like, it's a hechsher for Kmitza, or it's like a two-step process.
Okay, good.
I don't know if you're
going to... So Amir Sashem will develop that chilek more as we go along, and if you're not satisfied, bother me again, and we'll yeah. Okay, good. So the Tosfos Yantif is bothered. He says, I'm not sure why any psisa would be ma'akid, but klal, for a technical reason, he says, v'lo yadana amayta halo shina alav akasav. He thinks the pasuk doesn't repeat it. I'm not sure pasuk does seem to repeat it, but he seems to be bothered that psisa is not, you know, that Rashi says that there's some aspect of psisa that's ma'akid. He says there's no shina alav akasav. For technical reasons, the Tosfos Yantif is bothered. There are probably answers to the Tosfos Yantif question. But he also refers to the Rambam. Now, the Rambam, the Rambam will perish midi below pasos. You look at the Rambam perish mishnayis, and I think I have it somewhere. But the Rambam in the Yad as well in Parakid Gimel, when the Rambam mentions that, brings down this entire mishnah, brings down the mishnah without any qualifications. So he points out the Rambam seemingly argues with Rashi lo pasos in the mishnah means lo pasos klal. You don't do any form of psis at all. I kmitza. Okay, so you have a kmitza. Maybe like you know what he's saying. That psisa, the Lufi Rashi, they dafk up to be two different stages. I have to break something off, then and only then do the kmitza. Maybe for the Rambam, those that assume the Mishnah Kipshuto, it would mean that you could just take the kmitza, your maisa kmitza is all you need, b'diyed, without any prior psisa. Good. So the Gemara on that Mishnah, on Yud Ches and Beis, will be noteworthy as well. Oshbasa pisa merubis kashera. So it says hashda lapasas klal kashera. The Gemara says what? You didn't do psisa bechlal. You know, you could say how Rashi would read that or not. But you didn't do psisa bechlal, and the Gemara says it's kashera. So pasim merubos mibaya. Excuse me, this is important. That you're allowed to do pasim merubos. There's also a line in the Mishnah. You're allowed to do more psisa than you would need. Again, we saw maybe not too much because you have to be careful not to make it perurin, not to make it into crumbs. But my pasim merubo, so what does it mean, pasim merubo? Shariba p'psisim, that you made too many p'sisim, which different mepharshim understand, either you made them too big, or you kept going and did too many. But v'ibayisema, la'olam pasim merubos mamish, it means that you really made too many pieces. Ma'adetema hasam hud'ika taras chalas aleihem. And then when you do too many pieces, so then it still has taras chalas aleihem. Merubos, I think that in that stage means the chalos are each piece came out to be too big of a piece, not the smaller share that it was supposed to be, but you broke it up into pieces that stayed too large. It says hasamudeka taras chalos alem. That's okay because they still have taras chalos. Avolhacha delo taras chalos ikav lo taras psisinika kamash malan. But over here, where you're in limbo, you don't have taras chalos, and you don't have taras psisim. They are somewhere in limbo. You broke it up so it's no longer chalos. That you know, if you didn't do any psis of the chal, so then it's a chala, which is fine. Okay, chalos are very very good, and you could that's a kasher mincha. But now that I started breaking it up, but didn't break it up enough to be the right share of the psisa, so now I think you're in limbo. Lo taras chalos, lo taras psisim. That should be possible. Kamash one. No, that middle stage will still be okay. Good. Let us take a look. Now, Tosos. So Tosos points out, refers to something that we already alluded to. We read it quickly. But Tosos there in Menachos, Yid Chesem Abiyi, says, Shariba b'psisin, makes a technical point. But Sarla Kamanda Amr Parakei l'Menachos, says, Shekofalach l'shnayim v'shnayim l'arba, v'lo Kamanda Amr Machzer l'Sultan. That this does not assume like the Mount Amar Machzer the Sultan. It's clearly it can't be assuming that way. So Tosos points that out, that this Gemara here in Yudches cannot be assuming that Pesisa means to be Machzer the Sultan, but it only means to be making it into smaller pieces, and that those pieces have to be some specific shear. And there's a Chiddush even that if you're in limbo, you don't get to that shear, and you didn't leave it as a Chala, but you end up in the middle, that's still going to be a Kasher. We mentioned the Rambam, that at least according to the Tosos Yontif, the Rambam does not... brings this Mishnah Kepshuto, right, have it here, Yugimel, Halach Yid Aleph, and Maisa Kabranos, Lo Bala, Lo Pasas, Lo Higish, Lo Mashach, Esaraki, King Shera. If you miss any of these stages, so it's Kasher. Again, noteworthy, Chazar, he doesn't mention Malicha, because he holds a Malicha's Makiv. It's a shameless self-promotion, but Lo Nemer, Kol Advar, Ma'ilu, Ela, Le Mitzvah, Shekachi, Mitzvasa. So that the Rambam says the Pshat of the Mishnah is Lo Nemru Tadvar Ma'ilu El Mitzvah Shikachi Mitzvah. That we just say this is the Lechachila way to do the Avodas HaMincha Shikachi Mitzvah. But if you miss any of those stages, you'll still be fine. So again, we mentioned Pashat Pshat of the Rambam is that Lo Bala Mincha Lo Bala Kla. There is the Radvaz, which you know, take it for what it's worth, that the Radvaz actually puts Rashi's Pshat into the Rambam. And he says that if the Rambam can't mean there's no pasas at all because la karcha you need kmitza, so the Radvaz says even bedas Rambam that it has to mean that there's still psisa kidei kmitza, so the Radvaz puts that into the Rambam. Again, the pshuto shal davar within the Rambam is that that psisa is not ma'akiyat b'chlau, and the kmitza, as we pointed out, maybe the kmitza just means that you take the ma'isa kmitza without a separate act of first breaking it into a piece. You just put your hands into the challah, grab at a piece, vizel, that's going to be your that's going to be the mincha. How would you do that? So the truth is, I was wondering, and this is, we'll get to this at some point. But the Chaver came across the Gemara and the sugya of Shizua Avodas Kasha Shemekdash. So is Kemitza one of the Avodas Kasha Shemekdash? So what's very a curiosity to just bring out is how this sugya of psisa may or may not impact that sugya of shizu avodas kasher shel mikdash. Is psisa, like we're pointing out, is it just a hachana for you to do your kmitza, and in a way you have bite-sized or grab-sized pieces that you're now ready and available for you to just go in and grab. You can just go in and grab a rogalach. Again, invitation. Are you getting hungry? Please, come. So just grab one, and it's just an easy, convenient way for you to do kmitza. Or, no, this is part of the Seder HaAvoda, and you're part of what you're supposed to do, but it's unrelated to the Maisa Kmitza itself. And the Maisa Kmitza could be done by, imagine, you have a challah here, and you just, my two-year-old daughter is very good at just sticking her hand into the entire challah and grabbing a piece. You could do it, and it is theoretically possible to take an entire piece of the right shear of the Kmitza, and then, like you've already been talked about, the way that you, whatever you have to do to get the right shear, I imagine it is possible. No?
Right, I'm just wondering if this Radvaz is not saying anything more than the Hiki Timsa to be able to do Kmitza.
That might be exactly what he's saying. What's the Lashon? He says again, Vim Tamar Ola Tarach Lekmotz, Vila Pasas Hechi Matzi Kamitz. Sorry?
You're saying it sounds more, it does, it sounds more pragmatic.
the red eyes. Right.
Yeah. Not that it's part of the Hadidara. I mean, there are two possibilities to explain the Raj. One, that's a definition of Kmitza, but not the physical definition, the process of Kmitza. The
red
vase, it sounds practical.
Right.
It's
a Hekimotz. Hekimotz, yeah.
Like, how can you do it?
How can you do it? How can you do it? So again, we're the theoretical.
It's more than that. It's part of the. It's illegal.
It's
illegal.
Oh, legal.
Not a practical.
Right. Okay, very good. Yeah. So again, I think we could. You know,
so just mean
there are pieces
Rambam,
apart. But,
it
yeah.
just means that even according to the Rambam, the Rambam still doesn't have a bona fide requirement.
Of Pesisa.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, there's a practical element of Pesisa that is required. Pesisa on Kol HaMincha, for sure, everyone has to agree that that's not Ma'ake, meaning to split up the entire Mincha, even the part you're not going to be taking Kmitza from.
Right.
So that everyone has to agree that that's not Ma'ake. The details of do you have to split up Kedei Kmitza or not. So again, we're toying with the details of how to split up between Rashi and the Rambam in terms of the way people are understanding Rashi, the way that others are understanding the Rambam. Yeah? Right? Okay, good. Remy, you had?
I was just going to make the
same point. Okay, excellent. Amazing. Good. So let's take a look. Give me a second. The Miuchas the Rashba makes 2 points over here. Yeah. The first point that he makes is more of a technical point relating to the beginning of the section. He refines a little bit of the possibility of how it works out from the drasha, which part of the drasha refers to folding over, and which part of the drasha refers to splitting, and then he actually also points out it's also relevant to our discussion, the fact that maybe if you need him, if you he asks the question, if you need psisa for kmitza, so then obviously you need to be mavdalit. Obviously you need to separate it, so why is that possibly part of one of the drashas that you're also separating it? And he gives technical reasons of why we need both elements, why we need both the requirement of folding over, why we need the requirement of splitting apart, and why we need both the drasha, the fact that there's psisa, and there's also a drasha of kmitza, meaning if these are, before I learned the story, I would assume that these are totally separate related and none. There's kmitza, there's psisa. Totally unrelated, but he now says, wait, if they're just coming for each other, so then why do we need both halachos and both drashos? Just tell me you need kmitza, and then obviously I know that I'm going to have to separate, which is an interesting take. The second point he makes is also fascinating. In the second underline, source 26, near the bottom, v'nira lomar, degam l'tana kama d'Rabbi Shimon, poses echad min hachatichos l'chatichos dakos k'dei lasos ba kmitza. That he suggests that perhaps even according to the Tanna Kamma, this is on the discussion, the point of whether Tanna Kamma and Rabbi Shimon are arguing or not, he's working with the assumption that they are arguing, that the Tanna Kamma says just do 1 to 2, 2 to 4, no, whatever it comes out to, you're good. Says the Rashba, though, you have to take one of those pieces and keep splitting it up. Kedei lasos ba kmitza. Split it up until you get to the shir kmitza. Rabbi Shimon thinks that you have to make the whole mincha into kizesin, even though only one of your kmitzas will, your kmitza will only come from, you know, whatever, shnei zesim, or kidei kmitza, whatever that's going to be. V'tanakama sover, de'eno poses psisin dakin, kiyim what? Shir psisa. That he thinks, yes, you have to split up the whole mincha into some split, you know, have to split up into pieces, but only one of those pieces do you have to then be precise and be careful into splitting it up into an exact shear that you're then going to take your kmitza from. So that's a very gewaltic way of seeing how we're already integrating kmitza and psisa into one another, and the way that somehow it's preparing the mincha for kmitza, how the chachil you do it on kol mincha, but yavid it's okay maybe just to do it on the part for kmitza or to not do it bichlal. And then even more than that, you have to take one piece. And even though psisa is on the rest of the thing, the Miuchas Rash was saying, maybe you have to split up one area of it to be precisely the right shear that you're going to need for your kmitza. Yes?
So if I understand you correctly, you're saying that the Rashba here is bringing the point you were trying to say before from the Rashi we quoted before and the Bartanur we quoted before about the minimum shir psisa being the shir kmitza, and now the Rashba is sort of saying more that even once you do psisa, you have to take one of those pieces and like even more strongly prepare it for kmitza. Couldn't that indicate the opposite of what you're trying to say? You're trying to say that you see here a yachas, that these Rishonim are all creating a yachas between psisa and kmitza. Couldn't the opposite be true? Meaning, going back to the Radvaz, that if the Radvaz thinks that the pshat in the Rambam is that you have to break up at least the kmitza's worth, and he thinks that's what the Rambam means when he says lo pasas, well, that's because he's saying there's a technical inability to do kmitza unless you break it into pieces, whatever it is. And he thinks that's muchrach. So inasmuch as that's true, that could be what the Rashba is saying, that could be what Rashi's saying, right? In which case, it's not necessarily a din kmitza, it's you're breaking it into pieces because you need to do kmitza. And everyone is going to have to agree with that. And fahashta da'asas lahachi, you wouldn't see a yachas between psisa and kmitza, which...
Why not? It's the stala achanaf right now.
No,
why
because
not?
That's not psisa.
Oh, interesting. So just to say, I think what I think you're saying is that psisa is a din. You do psisa, and then there's the kmitza. Totally unrelated. There's the kasu, do psisa. And then whatever shir comes out, that's not... It's closer to the right share of kmitza, but it's still not share of kmitza, and that's why the Rashba is saying, no, they're still actually totally unrelated. That then you're doing, you could say that maybe the miyuchas of the Rashba is saying three stages. Number one, psisa, which gets you closer, but not there. Number two, then you do the, take one individual piece and break it into the perfect size for you to take kmitza from, and then, which is just hachana for kmitza. That's not midin psisa, that's hachana la kmitza. It's just a technicality. And then number three is then you actually do your ma'aseh kmitza.
Right.
Yeah?
I mean, and v'haraya, the Tanakhama assumes they do sisa and mincha, which doesn't get kmitza.
Say again that.
According to the Tanakhama, a minchas kohen gets pesisa.
Okay.
So to say, if the Rishonim really suggest what you're suggesting, they're saying, how do they explain why it is there's pesisa on a minchas kohen?
Oh, good. Well, we're going to have a whole.
You could say the opposite of that, too. That aspect of kmitza, even Nicholas Cohen has.
That even though there's no practical kmitza, there's like a
tchilas kmitza.
Oh.
There's a tchilas.
You don't actually. That you could say that.
Uh-huh.
If you think that all there is one din, and that din is that psisa's substance of connection to kmitza, so then I don't know if you're going to get to this, but revolutionizes how you look at the gap between Nicholas Cohen.
Yeah, no, for sure. So, I'm saying. Okay, it's okay. Exactly, in Mirtz Hashem, where we're going to be going is now that we're laying the groundwork and opening up exactly what this is, why it's doing, when it's doing, what relationship does it have to the rest of the avoda and really kmitza. So we'll test the waters by going into Minchas Solas and going into Minchas Kanim and see the way that that's
instead of being that way, it could be that.
Right, and see the way that all this expressed, and as we go on, we'll keep seeing what our reactions are to those things. Yes.
Yeah, so just to clarify, for the Rashba, how are you explaining the, I guess, two steps of Psisa? There's two dinim. There's like a din Psisa as the Torah's Psisa, and a din Psisa, the Torah's pragmatic hefsher for Kmitza, or are you something else?
I'm currently not going to commit myself to any of the options per se.
Okay.
But I'm asking. I think these are very helpful ways of categorizing what the Rashba is actually doing. Meaning, once we have the Rashba, so then where exactly do we categorize Psisa in relationship to Kmitza? I think we have at least a number of possibilities. Maybe three possibilities, more or less. Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
No, I was just wondering if you were.
Yeah, I'm not committed to any one of them at this stage. We'll see if that changes. I'm not sure if I have plans to change or not. We'll see what happens. So that's so far. Again, laying the groundwork. Now we have Seesaw. We're starting to, the wheels are turning in terms of what the connection is between Kmitza, a bunch of different options of its relationship, of its, how much it is Chana, practical, Gezer Sakasov, all the, open to any and all of the above at this stage. Number four. Psisa b'minchas solas. So let's come back and look more carefully at some of the parts of the Mishnah Gemara that we looked through quickly towards the beginning of the Chabura, just to give the overview. Let's look now more closely. Source 27, Kol ha-menachos anasas b'kli tunos psisa, all menachos that are in a kli require psisa. And the Gemara says, as we mentioned before, l'mi'ute shtei alechem alechem ha-panim, this excludes the shtei alechem alechem ha-panim. L'shita m'kabetzes, on the spot, jumps out. Top page 6, psisa mashma filu mincha solas. Location would be that even mincha solas would be relevant to psisa. To look at Parash Rashi, Parash HaChomesh, Da'amar Minchas, Mincha HaNekmetzas Solas, Eina Tuna Psisa. Unlike Rashi and Chomesh, who says that a Mincha that's Nekmetzas Solas, a Mincha that gets Kemitza when it is flour, does not require Psisa. Rashi and Chomesh, I think as far as I saw, doesn't say it quite that way. Rashi, I think a little bit more. We'll see the Rashi. Let's look at the Rashi. Next, the Rashi and Chomesh. Source 29, Pasos Osapi Tim, and Vayikra, Parak Bez, Pasuk Vav, L'Rabbas Kol HaMenachos, HaNefos, Konem Kemitza, L'Psisa. This includes all menachos that are baked before Kemitza for Psisa. It's a line we read over, but now to just reflect a little bit more, Rashi is now saying Psisa is connected to menachos that are Nefos. So Minchasolas, go back 2 weeks. So the Minchasolas, is it baked? When it's baked? Why would it be baked? What point it split up? But Pashtus is, almost according to everyone, as far as I know, Jed will correct me if I'm wrong, the Mincha Solas is not baked before Kemitza. So that Lashon that Rashi is using seems to be almost very clearly to exclude the Mincha Solas. So the Shita Mikvetzes is correct that that Rashi is excluding Mincha Solas, seemingly, from Psisa. And the Mizrahi says it explicitly, not the Zionist, but the commentary on the super commentary on Rashi, he says, K'dei l'may Mincha Solas Shenefes Achar Kemitza, that this excludes Menchas Solas, which is baked after Kemitza. Why? Here we go. Bolded and underlined. Mishon te psisa eina ela le Kemitza. Because psisa is only coming for Kemitza. V'kvar kadmala ha Kemitza, ba'oda Solas. And the Menchas Solas had Kemitza already when it was Solas. Therefore, bein tzarach l'psisa, therefore it doesn't require a psisa. So again, the Mizrahi is saying what was already on our minds in different ways so far, that the Minchas Solas, Medayik from Rashi, pretty clear, is not Shayach to Psisa, because it's only Menachos HaNefos, only Menachos that are baked, that would require Psisa. But since the Minchas Solas had Kemitza prior to it being an Isa, as opposed to Chala, so therefore it doesn't, not relevant to Kemitza. This machlokas Rashi in the Shita Mikbetzes comes out on Daf Yeches as well, where Rashi on the Mishnah, when the Mishnah says lo pasas, which already talked about this Mishnah, Rashi says here in the underline, source 32, hu hadin l'chol haminachos hanafos tchila, the same would be true for all other minachos that are baked first, and the Shita Mikbetzes jumps there again. Shepsisa perish Rashi lachar afiyasan mash metoch perusho to ein psisa b'mincha solas. Good. Again, Shita Mikbetzes says the same thing. Good. The Shita Mikbetzes again makes the deal from Rashi, both, so it's both in Chumash, also here on the Mishnah on Daf Yud Ches, that Rashi is excluding Mincha Solas from being Shayach to Psis, and the Shita Mikbetzes argues in both times. The Karna Ora, again, just says what I think is very likely on our mind. He says, the Mincha Solas lo Shayach l'Rabuye. When the Gemara was describing which minachos are included and excluded from from Psisa, Mincha Solas is not even mentioned. On Daf Ein Hey, there's no mention of Mincha Solas. So the Karen Ar says, Mincha Solas Shayach L'Rabuye. It wasn't relevant for us to bring it onto the table. D'nech Metzes Kishi Solas. It's Nech Metzes Kishi Solas. V'shi Rayim lo Shayach Psisa. And on the Shirayim, there's no Shayach L'so Psisa. V'alkein lo Rabbi. El Minchas Mafe, and that's why the only things that are included are the Minchas Mafe. The Gemara here, Minachos Ayin Hey Amid Beis, so has the discussion, which we'll go into this in detail, Nirz Hashem, in a few moments, but at least for now, focusing on the Solas element of it. It's going to get a little technical, but we'll hold tight. So the Mishnah says, describes the Machlokas Tanakama, Rabbi Shimon, of whether or not the Minchas, what do you do with Minchas Kohanim? Tanakama says, Kofal Ach L'Shnei M'Shnei La'ar, but we know Mavdol, Minchas Kohen Mashiach, does get any kippel b'chlal, at least according to, you know, on the Mishnah. The Gemara might say it gets only kippel twice. Rabbi Shimon says, nope, neither one gets kmitza because they don't have psisa. And Rabbi Shimon, all right, it's in the Mishnah. You know, what we got very excited about the Mizrahi, the way he spelled it out, but it's really already in the Mishnah where it says, Rabbi Shimon says, maybe not past the Rabbi Shimon, but still, the line of thinking is there. She'ein ban psisa kmitza ve'echol, she'ein ban kmitza, ein ban psisa. That psisa is connected to kmitza. If it doesn't have kmitza, like a minchas kohanim, it's kula kalil. It all goes to mizbeach. So if so, there's no relevance of you being of you taking a psisa. Rashi on the Mishnah in the Dibur HaMaskil adds in something that's not in our Gersa, it's in italics to point that out over here. Rabbi Shimon Omer minchas nedava shel kohanim o minchas koin mashiach ein bahen psisa. So Rashi adds that into the Mishnah. That the minchas nedava shel kohanim and the minchas kohen mashiach, those ein bam sisa. Because again, there's a range of the different minchas kohanim. We already talked about, you know, referred or alluded to some of them, the minchas kohen mashiach, minchas chavitin, minchas nedava, we'll see in the second minchas kote. So Rashi says we're only limiting this discussion here to minchas Kohanim, Nedav Shal Kohanim, Kohen Mashiach. Why? Klomer Shlohei Mekaflon, Upalagat Tanakama, to serve Minchas Kohanim Kova. So Rabbi Shimon is referring to those Menachos. And what's very exciting and noteworthy about that is the Mishnah on Ayin, Beis Amud Beis in Source 37. The Gemara talks about Ve'elu Menachos, the very beginning of this parak, where Daf Ayin Beis, Ayin Hey, that we're talking about the menachos, the kmatzos, shirim, the kohanim. These are the menachos that get kmitza, the shirim go to the kohanim, minchas asolas, machbas, etc. Rabbi Shimon says, no, minchas kotei shal kohanim, nikmetzes. That even though generally we assume minchas kohanim does not get kmitza, he says, no, if it's a minchas kotei of kohanim, it does get kmitza. The kometz karav la'atman, the shirayim craven la'atman. And the kometz would be offered on its own, the shirayim would be karav on its own. Says Rashi, Rivelam Menachos Minchasolas, as we pointed out, it's Nekmetzes Isin, not relevant for us right now. Minchas Chote, good. Good. Is that good? But, again, what we have is we have Machlokas Tanakam Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah about the Minchas Kohanim, and Rashi, who adds in the fact that we're talking about specific Minachos, and what seems to come out very clearly is that in light of the Mishnah just a couple of dafim earlier, so Rashi is allowing space for there to be psisa by what? A Minchas Chote Shal Kohanim, at least within Das Rabbi Shimon. Because Rabbi Shimon is the one that says that the Minchas Kohanim, Chote Shal Kohanim, gets Kemitza. Einach Nami will be Kulakal, Zekar of Latzma, Zekar of Latzma, but it gets Kemitza. And Rabbi Shimon is the one that says in our Mishnah, this klal that we're excited about in the Mizrahi, and then noticed in Rabbi Shimon is thinking in those terms in the Mishnah itself, that kol she'ein bo kmitza, ein bo psisa. It comes out to be pretty clear that Rabbi Shimon would say that if you have a minchas chote shel kohanim, it would get psisa because it has kmitza. So very exciting, very relevant, the fact that we're already seeing that there's going to be this inherent connection between Kemitz and Psisa, and the way that bond is becoming actually even stronger. Bedas Rabbi Shimon, Bedas Rashi, and the way that's all starting to come together. The,
Just
to
clarify, you're emphasizing that wasn't
in class. Not yet. Good. Very good. So the Mishnah Lamelech. The Mishnah Lamelech is bothering the Rashi. Again, we're talking about right now about Mincha Solas. That's our focus. There are other exciting things here. Let's do our best to focus on solas, and good, minchas koncha, minchas chote is what? Is solas. Very good. So the Mishnah Melech and the Karen Ora are both bothered that Rashi, who seemingly makes a big deal, in a few places, we saw in Chumash, we saw in the Mishnah on Daf Yud Ches, makes a big deal, that psisa is only relevant to what? Menachos that are ne'efos. La fuke minchas solas. But what comes out, again, if we're making this logical extension, so what would come out is that Rabbi Shimon, Rashi Dafka is medayik to say, in the, you know, it says that the minachos that don't get kmitz according to Rabbi Shimon are one minachos that nedava shel kohanim and minachos kohen Mashiach, but leaves makom for there to be psisa by minachos chotei shel kohanim. If that's true, so then there would be psisa by minachos olas. So the Mishnah Lamelech is bothered by the vani tmi al zeh. In the last line of the Mishnah Lamelech, source 42, vani tmi al zeh. The minchas chote, minchas asolasi, minchas chote asolas. Uchem evorim, the minchas asolas part is part of the elsha ein babsi. So the by Rashi tzrichem atzli Talmud. He's bothered by Rashi that it, what seemingly the logical extension is that minchas solas, minchas chote shal kohanim gets psisa, but it's minchas solas which Rashi had already excluded. The Karen Ora just furthers the question, sharpens it a little bit more, because he points out the lohami tzarach lahayduka. He quotes the question the Mishnah Melech has. He says the Mishnah Melech is asking this question from the diuk, from the Dibur HaMaskil of what he's saying in relation back to the Mishnah earlier. I am based lohami tzarach lahayduka. You have the question of Rashi even without that diuk. To the head of Rashi zal kaman gabi hayomi to makriv to minchas ho'omer mayri. We talked about the Mishnah, that you're standing, you're going to make shakyan, you're going to make hamotzi. And one of the menachos that's talking about, the Rashi explains, is minchas ha'omer. The Allah tari, the kulam psisim kizesim. On the minchas ha'omer, it says that all of the psisim are going to be kizesim. Afilu minchas ha'omer. Even the minchas ha'omer. Minchas ha'omer, minchas solasi. The minchas ha'omer is solas. Are you mavor, kedvar, the minchas ha'solas, gam kein, bayi psisim. It would come out based on that, that even the Menchas Solas would actually require psisa. So how would that even be shaykh? The Menchas Solas would require psisa. It would be, how is that even possible? I mean, just from a practical perspective, before the tofen of the lamtos of it, but just from a practical perspective. The Menchas that Solas, so go back 2 weeks to Jed, who was talking about all the details of the Menchas Solas, and Jed fed me the Taras HaKodesh in source 44, who's bothered a little bit about how that would even some of these things would be possible. So in the middle, where it's underlined in mine but not in yours, but it's in the middle of Lefiza. Lefiza haya avshar lomar shagam b'minchas asolas haya ba chalos. Because part of the problem that we're describing over here, and we'll hopefully highlight this as we go along, is the relationship between psisa and making a mincha into chalos. So you have this other issue by Minchas Solas, that when is it being made into chalos? Presumably, maybe not at all, but seemingly, certainly not before the Maisa Kmitza. So says the Taras HaKodesh, no, maybe it's possible. Shagam Minchas Solas haya ba chalos kodem ha-kmitza, maybe it had the chalos before Kmitza, haya osa asar chalos mina isa, va'achar kach haya posasan, va'achar kach komets m'napsisan. So the Taras HaKodesh comes up with a practical way, maybe, it would be relevant that there's this possibility of you'll make it into an Isa, and then maybe you'll even have to make it into Esar Chalos, and then you'll have to then do a Psisa on those Esar Chalos, which aren't really Chalos, they're Esar, whatever, Isos, and then you'll break them down, and then from that, you'll then do a Kmitza.
So
yes.
The Rashi that you're deriving steers from these two on Ayin Hamer Beis, the Kenros, the one about the Omer, and then the Mishnah Melech Hadiyah from Rashi's
curious
to change the Mishnah.
Yeah, that was a lot of steps, yes.
Yeah. Right, meaning...
I won't warn it would be technical, but yeah.
Right, but meaning, that's not Rashi stuff yet. Like, there's not really a steer.
Okay. I already lost the technical...
Rebbe, correct me if I'm wrong. I was under the impression that Rashi stuff, right, is... What the Shita has is Rashi, and this is someone else, in which case, there's no steer.
Okay. You're saying it's only Rashi the Ksaviyah who says that it's the Menachas Omer.
No, both of them.
Other way around.
No.
Both of them
are in what I refer to as the Mefarish, not Rashi Ksaviyat, in which case there is no Sira.
Okay.
Because you're right, Rashi does say elsewhere that the Menachas Solas doesn't get Pesisa, but the Rashi here, who sounds like it does, isn't Rashi. So.
Okay. That could be good. Okay. In terms of the technicalities of is this technically a question on Rashi or not, I'm more curious, like, conceptually how this would come out and how this would apply by Minchas Solas. But I do hear. Meaning that is a good point. That meaning if you're saying that that's an issue with the Karanora, you're saying.
I'm saying the Karanora is.
He's answering their kashya.
Meaning
with Rashi, because the Rashi lifnehem was what I'm saying. But I'm saying they're dealing with assuming that this is Rashi, so that's why they're bothered. So I'm pointing out that you know we at this point know that it's not Rashi.
Okay.
So. You know, in a Rashi might be consistent in assuming the Menchah Solos never gets ceased.
I'm always happy to have the scholar of academic Talmud in the room, Yoni Olson. But appreciate the. At some point we're talking about some of this, I guess, and I remember you were making those ha'aras that which Rashi is real Rashi, which Rashi is fake Rashi. Okay. But what I'm worried about right now, again, if that solves the technical issue and it answers Karanara and the Taurus Code of Givaldic, that's good, and I'll be happy. And I am happy, but I'm still bothered because I still want to know conceptually, is a Minchas Solos shayach bechlal to the concept of Psisa, and then what does that tell me about, number one, Psisa bechlal, and its relationship to Kmitza, and Minchas Solos, and what is a Minchas Solos unique and different from other menachos that we have. So we're still, we still have what to speak about in Mir Sosham. So give me a second. Yeah, okay, fine. So I have source 45, source 46, I think it might be more of the technical issue. Rashi Ksav Yad is the one that says Minchas Solos Nami, in terms of Aser Chalos, just a little discussion on Aser Chalos, where the very next Mishnah, that we'll get to discuss a little bit, it talks about really the earlier part of the Mishnah, but Kol HaMenachos Bolas Aser, talks about the fact that all Menachos come in 10 Chalos, with the exception of Lechem HaPanim and the Chavite Kohen Gadol, which come as 12, Shtei Misrei, and then the other Tanoim, that's Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir argues, they all come Shtei Misrei, fine. And Rashi there in the Ksav Yad says that Kol Menachos Bas Aser Chalos, Yomin Chasolas Nami, that says that the Min Chasolas actually is also relevant to come as Aser Chalos, so that's the way the Taras HaKodesh was pointing out. The Bar Tinur also says the Minchas Solos would also come as Aser Chalos. But then Rashi back, we quote this is actually a different Rashi, but brings out the same Yisod, the Kol HaMenachos, HaFoyos Lefnei Kimitzasim, the Kematzos, Al Yedei Psisa. So Rashi seems to, again, in this context, also it's very similar to Lashon we had before, but he says that all Menachos that are baked before their Kimitza, and then maybe even in a stronger language he's using over here, but Nikmetzes Al Yedei Psisa, and it's Nikmetzes through that Maisa Psisa, so those Kula Bos Eser Chalos. So Rashi on Chumash, when he's describing Eser Chalos, says almost a prerequisite or requirement of having Eser Chalos is also that what? It will be baked, it will be made into, it will get baked as Ten Chalos, it will be made into Psisa, then our Fuyas Lefnei Kmitzas, and it's baked prior to the Maisa Kmitza. All Rashi in Chumash is putting all of those conceptually and practically together. They're all going to be related. The act of making it into Ten Chalos, baking it into Ten Chalos, the idea of doing Psisa, and the idea of doing Kmitza only after it has already been baked. Rashi brings out that emphasis, which certainly through emphasizing that is further excluding Minchas Solos, which seemingly would not have that, would not be relevant to this. Yes?
Yeah, Rashi also, just as far as the relationship between Psisa and Kmitza, sounds more like Psisa is almost Tchilas Kmitza, unlike other places where it wasn't as clear whether or not it's a Hefsher or like a two-step process or whatever. Here it sounds like
Matzos Ayyadeh.
Ayyadeh Psisa.
Yeah.
Almost sounds like it's like Tchilas.
It's like part of the process.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, they're so linked. I mean, your psisa is... when does your kmitza start? When does it end? It starts when you start doing psisa. It ends when you have your kmitza. Right? It's like all... they both overlap almost, no? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, in other words, it's the beginning of... Yeah, kmitza.
Right. Right. Right, all right. So that's very good. The another Mizrahi for the day, in Source 49, points out something absolutely fascinating about the about what the discussion is by the what's even the havmina of a Minchas Solos being relevant to the to Aser Chalos. He's bothered, you know, more or less he's bothered by the fact that it would come out to be a stira between the Rashi we just mentioned and the Rashi, again, maybe not Astira, but the Rashi and the Ksaviyad on Chumash. I don't, again, we'll have to consult with our academic scholars of whether, did the Mizrahi have Rashi Ksaviyad in Nachos? Did he have Rashi? Which one did he have? Help us out? No one? So, whichever one he had, I think he's bothered by the fact that there's a stira between the way that this Rashi that we just quoted, who very much links the Aser Chalos with the Kmitza after Afia and the Psisa, links them all together with the Rashi who in Menachos that says that that Menachas Solis is also one of the Menachos that would come as Aser Chalos. So why would that be true? So he says, which is a very, very interesting idea, that the all the other menachos are made into 10 chalos before there's a kmitza. From one of the chalos, you do, from all the chalos, let's say, then you do psisa. Then from one of the psisin, you take a kmitza. Then it now comes out that you're left with only 9 complete chalos. One of the chalos is now chaser a kmitza. So I would think that the Minchas Solas, says the Mizrahi, the Minchas Solas is also relevant to Eser Chalos. But since the Kmitza happens before it's baked, so he says, the Shehen La'achar Kmitzas and Tess. That really after the Kmitza, now the Mincha only has 9 complete Chalos. I would think, Vayaroi Shalo Yiyu HaChalos Nasus Men La'achar Kmitza La'teisha Chalos Bovad. Then maybe now you should only have, there should only be 9 chalos bulvan. Afilu hachi, eser mitzvos ka'avdilei. Nevertheless, says the Mizrahi, there's a mitzvah to make the mincha solas into 10 chalos, even though somehow through the maisa kmitza you're even impacting and affecting the shear of how many chalos you actually have. You had 10 chalos before, now you have 10 chalos minus the kmitza, so only 9 shlemos. So when I'm doing this act of making the solas into chalos, which seemingly is not relevant to its afia, because maybe it's not even going to be baked at all, certainly not being baked before the kmitza, so he says, so it should be parallel to the other menachos, in which case only making it into 9 chalos. Kamash malon, that's why there's this chiddush that, oh, even the minchas solas is relevant to the make it into eser chalos, even though it's you're going to come out missing and it's going to be 9. I was very excited about this. Mizrahi spoke this out with Jed a lot. And in terms of what that says about its connection, first of all, to the Chalos and the Psisa, I think I was overly excited about it at the time because I thought that maybe this Mizrahi was saying that the Maisa Psisa and the Eser Chalos are so much related to each other that they're almost the one act. That making it to Eser Chalos is the beginning of the Psisa, and then you continue to do Psisa. At this point, I don't think that's true. Certainly after, Jed told me I was wrong. But not only did Jed say I was wrong, but but Rav Moshe Philip, I don't know who he is, but he wrote the Ha'aros on the Mizrach, on the Reim. Mizrach, he says, Sharei, in Fadot 80, Sharei La'achar HaPsisa La'Kmitza, Chisa Ra'achalos, and Tachzir Lemi Makoram HaReihim Ra'ak Hetisha Shleimim. Okay, it's an interesting idea. This also comes out to be a machlokas, the Lachamishna, the Mishnah Melech, relevant to the Mincha Solas, because the Rambam's not so clear. The Rambam in Halacha Yud Gimel, Parakei Gimel Halacha Yud, says, if anything, actually, no, he is pretty clear. Kol arba menachos elu ha'afuyos. All of these menachos, which are what? Baked. Kish ofen osan, ofen kol yisaron, eser chalos. You bake them into 10 chalos. If you increase or decrease, it's kosher. And then, almost in one breath, the ketzad poses in. How do you do psisa? So on kofel achal l'shnai v'ashnai l'arbo ma'avdu. You fold it 1 or 2, 2 and 4, split. Vim haisa mincha shal zechrei kuhuna eno ma'avdu l'posis. If this a mincha shal zechrei kuhuna, you don't split it, but you're still posis. You still posis, which at least, in this presentation the Rambam will mean fold it over. V'kulam psisa k'zesim. All of it is k'zesim. Vim hikta psisa v'hikten osan k'sher. So lecha mishnah. So what does it say about, where does this leave Minchas Solas? He says, V'kem shekem Minchas Solas to hafiyah hi achara kemitza v'kishtei alechem lechem apanim. It'd be like the shtei alechem lechem apanim. What to achara hafiyah? Inu men alishim. He actually highlights another element of it. That the fact that after the kemitza, So Amimeno Le'ishan, there's not going to be anything part of it that's going to the Ishan. So maybe the same would be true by the in that sense of the soul of the soulless. So therefore, it would exclude it from Psisa. And the Mishnah Melech, the Minchas Hasolas Lo Itzrach Miuta, similar to an idea we mentioned before, the Minchas Solas doesn't even need a miut. Dilemata Mipsisa the Mehechatesi Apsisa Kem Shahesam Ischalakas Boda Blula. Where would there even be the relevance of it having a Psisa since it's split up? When it is when it's a ma'isa blula, when it's just you know just mixed together, it's not yet a challah, it's not yet baked, okay. The certainly what's relevant within this Rambam is the connection, the fact that the Rambam puts in the same halacha both the eser chalos and the psisa, which could be a practical idea, the fact that you were taking the psisa from that which is already chalos, but on another level might be more is potentially I don't want to commit to it, but is potentially more fundamental in the sense that you take your whole mincha, take the holy saron. From the holy saron, really the first act of splitting it up into something is what? Asiyas aser chalos. Then you then take the aser chalos and then viter split them up further. But in a way, it's almost the same act that you're just doing twice. Okay, once before the bacon, then you bake it. Then after you bake it, then you split it up. And in a way, you're doing a very, very similar process. One of them is asiyas aser chalos. One of them is maisa. And then again, we see the way that the Nosei Kelim are curious how this would apply to Mincha Solas and the Lach Mishnah Mishnah Melech both take their own have their own take on it. The Griz, before I conclude at least this section of the Chabura about Mincha Solas, so the Griz does point out that the Chalos might not be part of the Ikar Din of Menachos. So exactly what that fully means. He says, "Mikamalkam ain shame Chalos Chalok." That the creation of the Aser Chalos, that any individual one of them won't really get their own shame. They won't get their own chalos, pun intended. They won't get their own shame. But and similarly in the Briska Rav on Yerchas Meral says Vinei L'Chorach below Pasas Klal, what came into Shayach Kemitza Shem L'Chod. This is just wild. I thought this Briska Rav was pretty wild. It was very exciting, and we'll hopefully excite the chaver that was looking into the relevance of shemen and the yachas of the shemen to the mincha. The Briska Rav here is very exciting. It says, "V'nir l'chora af below pasas klal, it's going to be good. Avol kema d'shayach kemitza b'shemen l'chod." He says it's shayach to take a kemitza from the shemen of the mincha by itself without any solas. Im kein yikmos me'ah shemen. You should take a kmitza from the shemen, v'tiyah ha-mincha kishera, and the mincha would be kosher. D'kmod amreinu, d'ashar l'kmod mitzar shal mincha, etc. But what's the Briska Rav saying? This is wild, and is gewaldic for our curiosity as the connection between psisa and kmitza. The Briska Rav is saying, maybe, why is psisa lo pasas kosher? And back to what we were discussing with Rashi, and potentially the Rambam, of how psisa is a hechsher for a kmitza, or is a tzorech kmitza, or it's me'akev in terms of at least preparing the shear you need for the kmitza, or the kmitza. It says the Rashba, totally irrelevant. It says the Briska Rav, totally irrelevant, because you could take a kmitza from shemen. So he says, what do you do? Don't do psiyasa bechlal, and just what? Take a kmitza from shemen without any solas, be me'akev that, and you'll be yotzei. You didn't need psisa at all. Sounds like what he's assuming. There are a few assumptions over here. And mitzad the psisa and the mitzad the shemen. Mitzad the psisa, he's assuming that the psisa is a requirement to get you to the stage of doing your kmitza. That's why he's bothered by that. That he says, "Oh, you know, take it from the shemen. Don't do it at all. Meaning, why can't you do the kmitza by itself without psisa?" Okay, so it sounds like he's excluding that option. And then mitzad the shemen, it's very noteworthy because mitzad the shemen, he's saying that the shemen could be yotze your kmitza even on what? A regular mincha that has solas and shemen. I thought that was wild. What's he basing himself off? Most likely he's basing himself off the fact that misnad and shemen. If we assume, misnad and shemen, you could be, so then what? You take a kmitza. Rambam writes, you take a kmitza from the shemen. So again, my initial reaction to this Briska Rav is that yes, that's good when you're doing a mincha, when you bring a whole karban shel shemen. But when you have a mincha, that's both solas and shem, and those two have become integrated into one unit, and then your kemitza, he's ignoring the pasuk misalto mishana, that the kemitza is from the solas and the shemen. So how could he be ignoring and suggesting the fact that I have to take a kemitza from the solas and the shemen? This is a very, very curious to me. I got very excited about it, and certainly he's highlighting some of the possible extremes that we could take, you know, conceptual extremes we'd get to once we are toying with the connection between psis and kemitza, and how far you would go in terms of the fact that maybe psis is totally irrelevant because they just do from the shemen, totally ignore the solas, just do it from the shemen. Maybe that could be yotze. Maybe that may or may not also help us with a possibility for mincha solas. Maybe that would help us for a possibility, you know, psis and mincha solas. Yeah, totally irrelevant, but there's still kemitza from, you know, shemen, whatever it is. Just, yeah, yes.
As far as the Rambam, are you saying that because the Rambam begins with Eser Halos and then goes to Ketza Kosisa, that the din of Eser Halos is like Tchilas Sisa?
So far in this Chabura, I've been very non-committal to Mahalchim. So on that as well, I'm not gonna commit, but just be Ma'orer. What? I mean, and the reason I would like to say that possibly. I'm not going to commit to saying that because at least at this stage I don't have enough evidence to say that for sure that's true. Meaning there's at least indications, you know, the fact that it's in the same halacha, b'chadam achta, he flows right from the discussion of l'chalos into psisa. And, you know, we've seen some of the other makoros highlighting the relationship, you know, Rashi and Chomesh, and Rav Brisgarev highlighting the connection between the chalos and the psisa, and, you know, the afia, all of those things at least are indications to me that they're connected.
Right.
I'm not going to be fully committed and convinced that that's the only way to read the Rambam, but at least to put it out as a possibility. Yeah. Okay. Anything else? Okay, fine. So that's Mincha Solas. Now let's keep going into another exciting area of this sugya of Minchas. Minchas Kohanim. Does that shayach to kmitza at all? And already, a lot of the basic questions should be clearly outlined for us in the sense that a minchas kohanim is kula kalal. It is, you know, nefe, okay, so it's baked, so that requirement we have. But in terms of kmitza, it's kula kalal. So if a mincha that's kula kalal, shouldn't, at least on the surface, should not be shayach to kmitza. So let's take a look. So as we pointed out, the psukim are not so clear. There's a print of the psukim over here again in source 57. And that's that karban aron ubanav. And it's not, from the psukim itself, not so clear at what stage the psukim are referring to the minchas chavitin, the mincha that the Kohen Gadol brings every day, and not clear when it's referring to the minchas chinuch, the minchas mashiach that the Kohen brings when he is a nischanich into his avoda. But what's certainly relevant, and I don't know if we highlighted this enough, when we first saw these psukim, is that where's the context? I think we did, but just to reiterate, it says minchas pitim in the context specifically of the minchas kohanim, and Rashi there points it out. Minchas pitim melamed shetuin apsisa. That in the minchas kohanim, we point out very clearly that melamed shetuin apsisa. This requires apsisa. And printed again the Mishnah and Gemara that we've already seen a couple times. Machlokas Tanakam and Rabbi Shimon about the details of the minchas Kohen, which at least from the Mishnah is not super clear which one it refers to. But certainly the Tanakhama says that there's psisa, some form of psisa, you know, different than the Minchas Yisrael, again, because by the Minchas Yisrael you do ech l'shnayim v'shnayim l'arba u mavdil. By the Minchas Kohanim, the Tanakhama says ech l'shnayim v'shnayim l'arba v'eno mavdil. So you fold it 1 into 2, 2 into 4, don't split, so that's already a difference. And then there's the difference, Minchas Kohen Mashiach, Lohayim Akaflim. By the Minchas Kohen Mashiach, you don't fold it at all. And Rabbi Shimon argues on both, as we pointed out. Rabbi Shimon argues on both and says, no, any, you know, all of these Minchas Kohanim, again, as we pointed out, Rashi refines that and limits that, but the Minchas Kohanim would not get psisa, and Rabbi Shimon who said, because they also don't have kemitza. But why are we doing psisa? Why are we doing psisa, especially in light of a couple of the Rashi's that we noted, who connect psisa to kmitza, for mincha, kula kal, no kmitza, what's the tzitzis doing? So on this, a lot of the mefarshim here on the Mishnah of the Gemara have different lashonos that already give us, you know, the flavor that something's different. Rashi in the underline in 460 says minchas kohanim kofel what kedei lekayim mitzvah b'sisa. You do this just to, there you have a mitzvah. Kedei lekayim mitzvah b'sisa. It's almost clear that Rashi is saying you're not doing this is different. Mashtan hafsisa zev. This is different because you're not on your way towards a kmitza. And he says no, there's a mitzvah, which may be one of the possibilities we raised before. That psisa is what? If it's a din, it's part of the avodah, that's part of the seder, you have to do it. So even though it's not going to lead to psisa, kmitza, you still do it. Okay. And very similar ideas, you know, Rashi in the Ksaviyad says, umavdu, why are you separating it? Misham by kmitza. The final stage, according to the Tanakhama, by Minchas Yisrael, I mean, Rabbi Shimon too, according to everyone, you have to separate it. Why? Because it's going to lead to Kmitza. That's why you don't do that by Minchas Kohanim, because it's not. Minchas Kohanim, Eino Mavdo, Mishon Zelo by Kmitza. Right? You're not going to split it because the whole splitting of it is now to have separate pieces that you'll be able to take a Kmitza from. Rabbeinu Gershom has a very interesting lashon. He says, Kedei L'Kayim Ba, Minchas Kohanim Kofa, what? Kedei L'Kayim Ba, Ktsas, Pesisa. That you're fulfilling part of the psisa, right? And it's clear he's bothered. You're not doing the full psisa. The full psisa is to get to kmitza. So you're clearly not doing the full psisa. You're doing ktsas. The Rambam says in the parish Mishnayos, "Rambam ben Chas Koyin Mashiach leMakafla." It's a lomar ina makafla called psisa mimena laarba. The kofla l'shnayim. Don't do all of it into four, but do it into two, which is some of the details that. We will that are just important, not for right now. The Bar Tanura and the Malacha Shlomo on Mishnayos make a couple of points that are actually very, very, you know, very fascinating in terms of how they already see in the Psukim that there's going to be a difference between the different Menachos. So the Bar Tanura in source 64, top of page 11, says. In the underline, the lo mekafla by the minchas kohen lo hayam mekafla la arba el lishnayim. So by the minchas kohen, don't split it into four; only split it into two. Why the lo ksiv ba el minchas pisim v'lo pasos? So it points out a diuk between vayikra parak beis and vayikra parak vav. And parak beis, the mishnah when the pasuk when it's describing minachos and nafos says pasos esapitim. Split it up into pieces, and we see in the Gemara, even Darshan, we saw this earlier, Darshan, that what? Pasos, you do it, Echa l'shnayim, l'shnayim l'arba. Ah! But by the Minchas Kohen, what does it say? It only says, Minchas Pitin. A Mincha, that's Pitin. That's only one action. So you just pulled it once. Already, there we go, a textual basis for there to be a difference between the Minchas Kohanim and the Minchas Kohanim in general, and the Minchas Yisrael. The Malacha Shlomo highlights another aspect of the differences between Minchas Kohanim and Minchas Yisrael, which is fascinating. It says in the underline 65, "Em neisha kol haminachos hemi saron shalim, all minachos come as in yisaron shalim. Minchas Kohen Mashiach lo haisa ki im chatzi saron. The Minchas Kohen Mashiach was only a chatzi saron. V'lazeh im yisaron cholik ledalid." It's a ratio. It's a ratio point. Says the Malacha Shlomo. That if you start with the Nisaron, so then you have to get to the right ratio at the end. So split 1 to 2 and 2 to 4. Right, all the way back to the beginning of Chabur, when we're talking about the Shir. What's the Shir of Psisa? What's the end goal? So he's saying that when you start with Nisaron, you're going to end up with the right Shir by doing Echel Shnayim Shnayim La'arpa. By Minchas Kohanim, where you start with the Chatzi Saron, so then by just folding once, you'll already be at the right ratio. Very fascinating. Yeah.
I don't want to go here, but or you can say this yourself, but perhaps would be too deep to be master, especially when the Gershon says it's a sas, perhaps be too deep in psisa.
Yeah.
What is the psisa, even if it's still as kmitza, due to the fact that it's called psisa.
Okay. Good. Meaning yeah, good.
So I'm saying the fact that you could have one din out the avodah psisa itself.
Yeah.
Of the avodah. And secondly could be as chilas kmitza.
It's like the
okay, good.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. You're saying
yeah.
The
Van
Gershon too.
Correct. Meaning is that they're good as just to flesh out more, and this is the to find more what Avrami was saying at the beginning, that there could be multiple ideas. There's the did psisa, you have to do the did psisa, and then there's a totally unrelated is maybe there's just hachana lekmitza, and that's a different thing.
Which is part of the psisa.
Good, exactly. Part of the dna psisa. I mean, yeah, exactly. That's a way to say it. Is that it might be part of the dna psisa. And first there's a din, and then later you have to then get to the right share of the kmitza, the two elements of it. Yes. Yeah?
This isn't a question here, this is a question on the Shlomo, but
yeah.
By the Chavitin, it's true you only have a Chatzi Sarum, but you're only making six columns out of each Chatzi Sarum, as opposed to understanding for you being Sarum and you make 10 columns. So it ends up being the ratio should be pretty similar.
Interesting. So
you have almost half as many columns that have as much dough, so the columns shall be just about the same size.
Okay, it might be too technical for me. But it's just fine. No, I mean, again, I said I don't have a good ratio brain. But definitely.
You can get 10 chalos from the Chatzi Yisar, and each chalos would already be half as
big, and the left
point would be well taken. But you're not making 10 chalos out of your Chatzi Yisar, you're only making 6 of each Chatzi Yisar. So
okay.
Each chalos already is kind of making up for. It's almost making up for the fact that it has less total solace between all the chalos.
Okay, good. Okay, got three reactions. Number one, again, still might be too technical for me to fit in all the numbers. Number two, another reason why Rebbe probably suggested that we should bring in, a demonstration. And number three, I had a more substantial point about what was number three? Oh, number three is that the way the Rebbe talked about the Chabur at the beginning of the year, the way the Rambam actually paskins how you split up the Menachos. So I'm not necessarily planning on going into this. The Rambam says that there are the machlokas around. Oh, we'll see it. We'll actually see this.
But then you have a fully sarum for 12 chalos.
A fully sarum for 12 chalos, and then from that 12 chalos, you're going to make whatever. From that those 12, you're going to make 24, and then you're going to take 12 in the morning, and from the 12 is what you're doing the psisa on, according to the Rambam. I think.
The ratio is the same.
The ratio is the same.
You're just multiplying it by two.
Like a diagram, no? Huh? What?
You never end up with 20
cows. You never end up with 20? Yeah. Okay, yeah. Oh, I mean, you're saying that would be the ratio.
That would be the problem.
Okay. Okay. More of an arts guy than a scientist. Yeah. But, this is very good. This is very, meaning, again, like Yoni prefaces, the Kasha Lama Lacha Shlomo, but, oh.
I think
it is kash on me, yeah.
Rashi or the Mufarish, whatever, not whether it's Rashi or not, I don't know, but I think he says that the same thing. That he says that it's also because it's Kabbalah Lishnaim, the Kabbalah Lishnaim, the Kabbalah Lishnaim, the Kabbalah Lishnaim, the Kabbalah Lishnaim.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, I have that somewhere. Where is that?
Oh.
You saw that, right? Oh, no. It's in the Gemara. Somewhere in the Gemara. Either way. It's in our source. No. Oh, yeah, I thought I had it. It might, whatever. It's on the Gemara. No? So, yeah, it's so very good. The Rashi Ksav Yad has basically very similar Pshat on the Lashon Shlomo. Viter, same Kasha.
Now we have to find an answer to the question.
What was that?
Now we have to find the answer to the question.
I mean, unless it's not, unless it's not real Rashi, then, I don't know. But,
okay, fine.
See Yoni Olson for that point. But, good. So that's, what do you do with it? The details have to be worked out. But certainly conceptually, the fact that it's different for that reason is very certainly noteworthy. Fine. The Rambam. Okay, yeah. Let's see this Rambam. This Rambam was taken apart in a very significant way in Rebbe's Chabura at the beginning of the year, We'll go through a part of the Rambam. We'll see it. V'achar kach chole kol chal v'chalos. This is Parak Gimel Halacha Dalet, Tor 66. This is the Rambam talking about the Menchas Chavitin. The Halacha Aleph, the Rambam says mitzvah to do the Menachos K'mitzvasan. And then Beis through Dalet are all on the Menchas Chavitin. So the Rambam has already been describing the fact that you make Shtemes Reichalos. And then, at this stage, I believe we have, I think, Shtemes Reichalos. Yeah. We have Shtemes Reichalos, we have 12 chalos, and we come to Halacha Dalet. And the Rambam says that you take these 12 chalos, v'achar kach Chole kol chala v'chala l'shnayim ba'omer. You take the 12 chalos, split them up into two parts ba'omer, approximately. Kidei shi'akar v'chatsi ba'boker v'chatsi ba'arev. In order for you to be able to be makriv, half of them in the morning, half of them at night. V'lokech ha'chatsam v'kofa kol echa meham l'shnayim. And then you take the half of them. Now v'kofa kol echa meham l'shnayim. Split up each one into two. Oposes. And you do psisa until what? Ashut timsa kol psisa kafu l'shnayim. Until now, each one is split up into two. Omakar v'chatzan im chatzi komets levona ba'boker v'chatzi anishar im chatzi komets levona ba'arev. Bring part of it with a half of the levona in the morning, half of the levona in the evening, the afternoon. V'im haisa minchas chinuch enochotza ala makriva kula ka'achas im komets levona b'shteyan kala l'ishim. That if it's a minchas chinuch, the kohen who is neschanach l'avoda, so then it's not, you don't split it, you're makriv the entire thing. Ka'achas im komets levona b'shteyan kala l'ishim. Those who are paying close attention will notice the fact that this line in the Rambam may or may not be a stira to the Rambam in halacha, I forget which halacha was, but later in the perek, where the Rambam says that minchas kohanim eino mavdil poses, where the Rambam said you don't split it, but you're still poses, it already sounds like you're not poses bechlal, so the answer would probably be that that's a reference to other types of minchas kohanim, which are not being addressed over here. Here we're talking about only two types, minchas kohan mashiach, minchas kohan mashiach, minchas chavitin, those are the two types. The other types are not on the table right now. But in terms of the way it's being split up, the Ravid's very bothered. He says that who says you're splitting up all these chalos? You split up once, you know, you have six in the morning, six in the afternoon. Not splitting it up even more. And then more than that, the Torah gave us a shiur. You're not supposed to add or detract from the shiurim. And why is he saying, why did the Rambam add in the fact that it's just approximate? The Ravid's not happy about that either. The Torah said that there's a shiur. You have half in the morning, half in the afternoon. So let's be very precise. Half in the morning and the half in the afternoon. The Kesef Mishnah points out something very technical point, which is very important to note, just in terms of Pshat and the Rambam, in light of what Pashup Shad of the Mishnah, the Machlokas Tanakam Rabbi Shimon. Kesef Mishnah says, "Mafarsh Rabbeinu to Minchas Koyin Mashiach deKatani Hayo Mincha Shemakrav B'Yom Sheneschanich." The Kesef Mishnah says that the Rambam understands Minchas Koyin Mashiach to be the Mincha that your Makrav B'Yom Sheneschanich. K'nechsev Zeh Karban Aron Ubanav Asher Yakru LaHashem B'Yom Himashach Oso. The Torah says that this is the one you bring B'Yom Himashach Oso, the Minchas Mashiach, and the Rambam explains that this is the mincha that's being referred to, and that would account for the way that this would then align with the Tanakhama, says that and together with the Gemara, that you're only makafla, maybe, you know, again, it's going to be very technical in terms of how you're going to line this all up, because which stages actually count as psisa. Does the Rambam assume that this is a mincha, they are being kofel achla shnayim shnayim la'arba, because is the, as you pointed out, there might be a difference, there might be a connection between the chalos and the psisas. The Rambam saying you have 12 chalos, then you split them up further into like 24, and then you're splitting up them further to do your psisa. So at what stage are you actually doing the psisa, and at what stage are you just making more chalos? Theoretically, you could toy with at what point the Rambam is, now you're not making chalos anymore, but now you're making psisa. And which one, was it this kofal echel eshnaim eshnaim la'arba? Was this only kofal echel eshnaim and not shnaim la'arba? And how you fit that, how you would then fit in the Shittas HaRambam into the Deos and the Mishnah, the Tanakhama, and which Deos and the Mishnah, because as you pointed out, the Mishnah itself is not necessarily so clear. Minchas Kohanim, you know, Shnayim Arba Veinu Mavdil, is that referring to every Minchas Kohanim? Is that referring to Minchas Kohanim Mashiach? So the Kesef Mishnah, again, you know, explains how the Rambam would fit into the specific Menachos. The Mishnah. The Rashba over here, some Yuchas 69 says, "V'yishlonet to Islay the Chol Hamnachos Iskosh La'adad V'yishlash Tosam Elvai B'mash Shachulkem Akasev." So he is bothered. Also, just another basic question we started off with: Why would the Minchas Kohen be relevant to Psisa B'chlal? So he says maybe the idea is that all Menachos are equated to each other, and they shouldn't be. they shouldn't be excluded. You know, we don't exclude them unless told that we're supposed to. Rashi in the Ksavya, in the Torah 70, is actually, you know, I'm noticing now, it's actually very, the premise of it is a little problematic, but I'll explain why. But he says, when the Gemara was trying to be memayit, here on page 12, I'm getting there. The Gemara was describing which menachos we exclude, which ones we don't exclude. The Rashi Ksavya is a line. Mestarbe minchas kohanim haveli lerabuye kedin minchas machlas. So which ones would we include, which ones would we exclude? Says the Rashi Ksavya, and that the Menchas Kohanim, that should be what included for Psisa, like the din of a Menchas Mafas, Shepsisa Ksiva Ba. Because, meaning Psisa is written in that context. So since Psisa is written in the context in the Torah of Menchas Kohanim, so then obviously we can avoid the fact that it's going to be relevant to Psisa, even though, based on a lot of the concepts we've built up so far, it's somewhat irrelevant to Psisa. You can't ignore the fact that it's in the Pasuk, so that's why that cannot be excluded. Tosos echoes the same sentiment where he says, "Nistabra minchas kohanim havelei l'ribuye b'din minchas machlas shekem Psisa ksiva b'behedyo." You can't ignore the fact that it says it says Psisa in that context. Skipping to the Malacha Shlomo, he makes a point over here, minchas kohanim Mashiach lo haisa, no andralan minchas kohanim Mashiach lo haisa ki im chati isaron. Okay, good. I mean, the same point that we brought earlier, so we could ignore that. Let's talk about the Miuchas L'Rashba. Ben Sion and I had a fun time talking about this Miuchas L'Rashba. Ben Sion gave me a lot of saras, a good saras. It was very Baruch Hashem. It was mechadid. So Mirtz Hashem. We'll see how it comes out next. The Rashba again has a lot of comments that highlight different elements of this discussion of the minchas kohen, and whether it would be relevant to psisa as well. Let's just bring out some of the main points. Let's just go to the third paragraph, and that's really going to be the primary point that I want to bring out. He says over here, three lines down, on here page 13. The kasha, the eich matzi palik, Rabbi Shimon Lomar, the minchas kohen Mashiach, minchas kohanim, ena bepsisa. So that line, it's a very strong question on Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah says that the minchas kohanim doesn't get psisa because it doesn't have kmitza. Very strong question. He had the same psukim that we have, and the psukim in the context say that it's minchas pitim. So how does Rabbi Shimon ignore? He's ignoring the pasuk. I can't remember, ignore a pasuk. The answer that the Rashba gives is very, very exciting for a lot of reasons. He says, skipping down to the Shlomar, about four lines up from the bottom, the Shlomar, Rabbi Shimon, lo darish lo sheba pisin. Rabbi Shimon, he reads that pasuk, he reads the word, and he says it says pitin, yeah. But he doesn't darsh that it means psisa. Why? The cave, and the Rabbi Shimon also vasar svara. Since Rabbi Shimon always follows the Svara, Dila Olam Hu Darish Taima Dekra. Rabbi Shimon is always one who darshins Taima Dekra. The Islay Depsisa Vishvira Lohai Sabah. Ki im Bishvil Kemitza Hanasis Acharel. That what's Psisa for? It's only to prepare for Kemitza. If so, he's Darish Taima Dekra. So therefore, velkach b'mincha to lack of a kmitza, less of psisa. Any mincha that doesn't have kmitza won't have psisa. Hari yifareish perish pisim. So what's he do with the word? Dertzon olomar tufine minchas pitim shetefe keminchas pitim she minchas machlas shenikris minchas pitim. Says Miuchas L'Rashba, the Rabbi Shimon, again, the kashas is ignoring the pasuk. It says mamish gevaldik. Rabbi Shimon is dorish time of the krah. So he says the time of the krah is that psisa at the yisod we've developed is that it's in some way we haven't committed to one way to say it, but certainly there are options of relating it to its kmitza, hachana, a chelik of kmitza, totally separate, but somewhere it's related. Rabbi Shimon says it to the extreme. The dorish time of the krah, that psisa is only for kmitza. So since it's only for kmitza, mincha that is kula kalil, doesn't have kmitza, so then what? he'll reinterpret the pasuk. He'll relearn the pasuk and say that minchas pitim just means that the way you make the these minachos kohanim will be as a minchas pitim, as a minchas machlas. Givaldik. So this is very geschmack for the following reason. Some of my extensions Ben Sion was unhappy with, but some of the extensions that I want to bring out from this is that Rabbi Shimon might also say Darshin on time dekra in an even more fundamental way. In a sense, of a few things, meaning we were discussing how much you have to do psisa in terms of the shira of psisa. So the Rashba actually earlier has a comment about this. Rabbi Shimon, you saw there was machlokas tanakam, Rabbi Shimon, and machlokas rishon about whether this is actually aliba de kuliyama. When the Mishnah says v'kula psisim kezesim, that all the pieces of it are a kezais, was that only shitas Rabbi Shimon, or was that aliba de kuliyama? So the miuchas the Rashba as an idea of why that might only be relevant for Rabbi Shimon. He doesn't say all of this. Part of this is my extension, and we'll see if the chavra is as upset as Pensino was on these extensions. Was that? No. You know, Divrei Chachamim kid, how do you pronounce the word? Kid, what? Exactly. So the word is Azai. That maybe also in terms of the sheer of your psisa, if Rabbi Shimon really thinks the extreme of the yisod that we've developed, that kmitza might be inherently linked to kmitza, so then it's also inherently linked to what shear do you have to come out with? Says Rabbi Shimon, you have to come out with a kezayis. So kulam psisim kezayisim. Because what's the shear of kmitza? Shnezayisim. Theoretically. Again, let's not commit to that. That's what we already have. I see people aren't going to get upset. But let's assume for a moment it's shnezayisim. So then, my psisa has to be what? My psisa has to be so perfect that it's going to be lend itself so nicely to take a piece of shnezayisim. Givaldik. So that's why Rabbi Shimon, Gufa, who's Dorish Taimed Akra, who's the one that says that I need Sisa to prepare for Kemitza, would say that no, you need to get to Shnei Zayisim, opposed to what? To the Tanakama, who says no. We don't Dorish Taimed Akra. The Torah says Sisa. From the Drasha, we say Echel Shnei Shnei Arba. We have details of how we're going to get there. And then it doesn't matter what it's ultimately going to lead to. I have to do the right, I have to just follow the Seder. So it doesn't matter. Then, okay, I have to do kmitza, so that's going to be a separate act. That's going to be separate. I'm going to do something else so then I get to my right shir kmitza. That's on my own. But for Rabbi Shimon, one might be able to say that it's so inherently linked that even in terms of your shir, psisa, it has to lend itself so perfectly to get into a shir zesim to then get into the shir of a kmitza of shnei zesim. Why aren't we happy? Because what?
That's shnei zesim.
Okay, good. That's one reason to not be happy. What's the other reason not to be happy? Meaning, again, they're just to say what you're only saying is that. So then I should do my psisa into Shnei Zayisim. Why do it into Kezayis? What's another reason not to be happy? What? Good. I mean, that exact point about Shnei Zayisim. Yeah? Meaning Shnei Zayisim, whether that's actually a shir kmitza or not, or whether it's any coin that's machzik, whatever is machzik, so that itself is a machloka. So there's your shami. And this way you have to go back to Metzios Chabura of what the shir of the kmitza is. And the Yerushalmi that says that Kohen she'in yado machzekesh k'shnei zesim pasul min avoda, that it could be that a Kohen whose hand isn't big enough for shnei zesim, he's not even pasul, he's pasul for avoda. Now even within the Yerushalmi, as Ben Sion helped to clarify for me, is that he's not saying that the shear is exactly to zesim. That's the minimum, but you could certainly have a Kohen who has a bigger yad who's getting more than shnei zesim. So that's another point to argue with this. This idea. And the Chasam Sofer explicitly basically says this, you know, from Ben-Tzion's Chabura, where the Chasam Sofer says that the coin should come so katan kosher, doesn't even if you have a small hand, you're still kosher, and what you have to do is just keep going, choser v'komets, and just keep going until you get to that minimum shear of the Shnei Zesim. So that's, you know, again, to commit to the details of the nafkaminas of what the practical elements that come out from this idea. I'm, for now, much more interested in the conceptual idea of how inherently we're willing to go to link psisa into kmitza, so much so that we'll, Miuchas Rashi was willing to reinterpret the pasuk for Rabbi Shimon and explain why Rabbi Shimon would ignore the pasuk. And then number two, also in terms of the shir, and how he's explaining the details of the shir. Okay.
In what way is the Rashi
what was the Rashba any better than or stronger than what Rabbi Shimon himself says in the Mishnah?
Say that.
Meaning, Rabbi Shimon says, Minchaskan Mashiach ain't behem sisu, neish ain't behem kmitza. Like, meaning the Rashba's not right. He's saying, I need to answer how it is he reads the Pesukim, but like, in what way is that? Does that indicate any greater yachas between sisa and kmitza than was already indicated in the Mishnah?
By which point?
Meaning, the Rashba.
Yeah.
So the Rashba says, oh, how am I going to say the Pesukim of Rabbi Shimon? They shouldn't time the Torah. Al Korchav Psisa means something else because the function of Psisa is Kmitza.
Yeah.
Like the Mishnah says that already. Like what do you think?
The Mishnah says what? That Kmitza is already, that Psisa is already.
That Psisa only happens in a Mincha that has Kmitza.
Oh, so that's very good. I mean, you're saying that Mincha is going to aim. No, I mean, the Mishnah is using Psisa in the colloquial sense of Psisa.
Well,
we assume Psisa.
Reb Shimon says,
Eibam Psisa Mishnah, Eibam
Kmitza.
So then what does he do with the Pasuk? I mean, that's the issue.
No, I understand. So I'm saying, I thought you were saying that there's some, I don't know, greater, stronger yachas that we can derive between Kmitza and Psisa because of this Rashba.
Okay.
But, meaning, the Mishnah...
You're saying you could already see that in the Mishnah?
Yeah.
How so?
Because you only did Psisa on a Mimicha.
Okay, good. But meaning, from the Mishnah, I don't see... I wouldn't necessarily notice the fact that Rabbi Shimon is kilo ignoring a Pasuk. And is forced to reinterpret.
Whatever, that's a question. You have
Answer. Correct. I mean, you have to answer that question. Correct. So, meaning, I think the answer to that question is highlighting a greater element of the connection. No? Maybe? Okay. No? Yeah?
No, I was just confused because even the Tanakh agrees you break it down to Kazesi before the Kanitza itself. That's what the Rashba says.
No. It could be the Rashba says.
What you quoted earlier was that.
Yes. Here's one difference. You actually reminded me of another Yisod I wanted to speak out. One difference is that he says that's only true on what you actually want to do the kmitza on for the Tanakhama.
Right.
Meaning, I have a whole mincha. I split it up into echel l'shnayim, l'shnayim l'arba, zeu, whatever the shear is, I'm happy. And then I'm about to do my kmitza on this part. So now that I do kmitza on this part, I have to then split it up into the right shear for me to take kmitza from. That's different from Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon was saying that I have to kol mincha, I have to prepare for kmitza. Which I would just, well, before I forget this, this is a yisod I wanted to say, I think earlier, but we'll say it now, is that the psisa might be in some way making the entire mincha what relevant to the kmitza, and in some way relevant to a lot of the yisodos that have been developed in various chaburas, that in some way part of that seder of the avodas hamincha is to be mekanish kol hamincha lios roi lechel kavoa, and perhaps what's being highlighted over here in the Rashba also, and you know that difference as well, the nuance between Rabbi Shimon and the Tanakhama, that Rabbi Shimon, he's saying when he sees in the right shear on the whole mincha, and the Tanakhama, the detail, okay, no, it's, you just do it on one side. This might highlight that these two elements. Is Psisa, again, a separate idea? Or no, Psisa is for my Kmitza, but not only for my Kmitza, but to make my entire Mincha what roi for Kmitza. Even though I'm only going to take Kmitza from one part. That's why B'dieved, it was fine for me to do, you know, just do a Psisa, just Kadei Kmitza, because that's fine. L'chachila, I don't have to split up the whole Mincha, because only one part of it is going on the Mizbeach, the rest of it's not. Elamai, L'chachila, I'm supposed to make the entire Mincha Roi Lios Chel Kavo, Roi Lios HaKmitza. And even though I'm only going to take it from one, there's still an Avoda. Again, the details of how that's highlighted, maybe, it might, it's certainly true within the Meyuchas L'Rashba's explanation of Rabbi Shimon, but might even be true for the Tanakhama, that there is some idea of the way that Psisa is creating the Tzuras HaMincha, not only that there's an avoda that the Torah tells me I have to do this, but also in terms of that now it's more right, the whole thing is for Kmitza. A very good yisod that I think it's good, so very, very big yisod that I wanted to speak out, so that I wanted to say at some point, I forgot, but thank you for...
Are you saying that now, even in, like getting back to what you said before, even in Minchas Kohen?
So yeah, it could be even for Minchas Kohen, that on some level, the Psisa, I mean, it might be... I totally this idea over the year, that Minchas Kohanim...
You would
might
say
be
this
still right for Kmitza.
You're saying this now even for the Kohanim.
Yeah, correct.
Right, so then I'm saying if this something supreme, what I said before, but I think this is what you're saying, right?
That
even the Minchas Kohen, even though there's no Kmitza, has to be something that's like Omeid or Rahi L'chelek gavoa, because that's part of the definition of a mincha.
Right, correct. I mean,
so the gap between milamaisa befoal, there could be two aspects of the kmitza. There'll be differences, but not as pronounced as you would have thought.
Right. So that could be, I mean, the pushback to that might be that the minchas kohen is already fully ready to be l'chelek gavoa, meaning that's why it doesn't need a kmitza. So then the psisa might not even be necessary for
the, I mean, that depends if you look at the kalil as if the whole thing is a kmitza.
Right, correct. I mean, that's certainly something to figure out where that plays. Yeah.
Right. But if part of the idea of the kmitza is the fact that not the part that's kalil that represents the rest, but the fact that it's matir the rest, you know, that you don't have.
Right.
Unless you have that, like, at least on a Roy level through the Psisa.
Uh-huh. Meaning there has to be at least the idea that one part of this will be matter the rest.
Right. That could be a part of it.
So also, it's interesting. I'm curious if Rabbi has thoughts on that. Over the year, I was curious about if it's shy to say that a Minchas Kohanim on a technical level is relevant to Kmitza, and for, since it's Kulakolos, so it doesn't actually get the Kmitza.
Right. So I'm basically suggesting, and this goes to other things, that there are two different aspects of maybe a kmitza, one of which it's like has because it's like super kmitza, the whole thing is a kmitza, but what it doesn't have is that idea and the implication that the chelek gavoa is also going to be matir, you know, the ishyorim aspect, put it that way, which isn't just like a, as we've been discussing, not just like a leftover or whatever, but that's also part of the kiyum. To do that.
Right.
So it's super kulal Hashem or kolil, that part of kmitza it has, you know, but the shulchan gavol kavzaku part of it, if you want to call it that, which could be a mamad of like a, you know, something that it doesn't have. So maybe psisim at least, you know, if you need it, not which then gives you kind of at least access to that.
Right. No, that's very much, I think, the way that I wanted to bring out this yesod of psisa and kmitza and merchas kohanim and the kulakalo and the chelek gavoa, all of these things are very much things that I wanted to highlight. Yeah.
Should we assume like that? I don't know if we touched on this yet, but psisa relative to the kmitza has been discussed a lot, but now psisa relative to shirayim.
Okay.
Sort of makes the psura of shirayim, even though you'll be nigmats in one part, but now you have shirayim that are also crumbled in a certain form.
That's very good.
And the psisa might be. Yeah,
that's very good. I didn't think of it that way. Minchas
Kohen might be, I don't know if this is right, I'm saying enough, but he might be psisa that sort of creates shirayim.
Right.
This is total.
Minchas Kohen doesn't have shirayim either.
Right,
on a practical level.
But how do you know it has shirayim at all?
It doesn't, but now you have a tsura of shirayim without full shirayim.
This is fully speculative, but once, no, your formulation was very helpful to think in these terms. Is there any way to say that the minchas, that the psisa even accomplishes creating shirayim, which are mini kmitzas, kilo?
I don't understand. Where does minchas have shirayim?
Not munchkins, but meaning every part of the shirayim that I'm being olcha was roy to be the kmitza, and has the tzura of a kmitza.
I'm saying that's true by every single mincha.
That's fine. Yeah, correct.
Okay, but I'm saying, what's the shirayim business? What's Shaykh's shirayim business?
Conceptually.
How? Show me the shirayim.
There are no shirayim. I think the point that we're just developing over here is that there's at least some conceptual aspect of, even though there's no practical shirayim, but there's an idea of creating the tsuras hashirayim that is then has the ability to be matri, even though it's not practically happening. Yeah, practical, you know, practical person, isn't it?
You're not saying
I don't know if I...
if the psisa, is part of the chilas, however you want to say, the kmitza or whatever it is, so then by doing the psisa, what you're effectively doing is you're partially accomplishing part of the kmitza, such that in the same way that the kmitza creates a chalos komet and shirayim, you're going to also have a certain sense of shirayim even in the entire mincha that you're being posted.
No, but I'm saying that's great if you're talking about a mincha and that feast that has pizza. But that's...
No, even if not.
Why?
Because the whole point of doing sisa is that it's partially accomplishing that yisur.
But where is there yisur of shirayim by something that doesn't have anything left over? Like, where does that exist by minhag sfarim? It's cool kala.
I'm also having trouble understanding it. What's if shirayim?
So I'm not sure what conceptual shirayim is.
I'm not sure if I'll formulate it so well.
Like,
I think other people will formulate
it. There's something that you're taking it from and leaving something else over. So it's not. I'm also having trouble just.
Rebbe has a way to. Like, I'm not sure if Rebbe has like a way to formulate
this. They're pushing back on the fact that
Shirayim
by.
No, all I'm saying is that in general, that there are two aspects to Kemitza that we've been discussing. One aspect of Kemitza is Chelek HaGavoah, which is Kula Lashem. And Minchas Kohanim, it's very easy to see that that's even more pronounced because it's Kulo Kalo. So you could say that, you know, instead of seeing it as the absence of Kemitza, you could say it's a more extreme. Everything is Kemitza.
No, that's fine. But
there's another aspect of Kemitza that we've been discussing, you know, in terms of Shirayim, and that is that Shirayim isn't just the parts that's not Nikmats, it's that there's a Chalos of Shirayim by virtue of the fact there's a certain Kedusha, in other words, to the part that is even Nechal, which is a Kiyum, not just a, you know, insufficient, let's say, Mekadesh, and that part of it is created by the Kemitza, typically. And Minchas Kohen doesn't seem to have that at all, which is, I think, what you're unhappy about.
Right.
It doesn't seem to have that, but the point is that if you think of that not as, like, you know, the if you think of that not as the absence of a full, you know, kemitza, and therefore it's like a leftover, and therefore you're supposed to be, you know, you therefore you have the heter akila, etc. But you look at that more itself as a kiyum, so then you might, and if you also look at psisa as something that is connected to kemitza, at least theoretically, but still will exist in cases where lemaitza, there's not going to be a kemitza. So what you might say is that, which I think is what I was saying in terms of the tzura, what you're doing is you're going through a process which declares that even though there's not going to be an actual kemitza and a shirayim here, you're going through the process that connects this to all menachos, instead of the way the Rajba says it at one point, which is, oh, there's a hekesh between all the menachos, so therefore you just have to go through the process, and even though it doesn't accomplish anything, unless you know for sure that there are differences, you have to, you know, go through the motions of every mincha. So to explain that in more than just being Zeres HaKasuv, what we're trying to explain is that you're saying, in the end of the day, the overriding higher kiyum of minchas kohen is that it should be kulo kalo levis be'ah. But at least the process is reflecting that also there's this ability, not because of the absence of the ability also to create what would have been a shirayim based on, like, dividing up, you know, the different parts of the mincha. So in the end, there is no shirayim, but the psisa is still something that, you know, is connected to tchilas kmitza, and doing tchilas kmitza, even when there's not going to be a sof kmitza, is the way that you express this other kiyum aspect of a mincha. That's the idea.
Where do we see shirayim?
You're not seeing shirayim. You're seeing what you're having. And from a process point of view, what could have been shirayim and could have been a separate kmitza, if that's a kiyum, why, you know? So you're lacking that in minchas. You could say you're lacking that because you have something even bigger, but if you think that those are two different positive kiyumim, so this would, and you think that this process of psisa is always related to identifying or to the potential of kemitza, so then you're dealing with a difficulty to begin with. Like, why do you have this in cases where you're not?
If I understand maybe correctly, maybe saying that psisa is general din of menachos, that's not being misyachay specifically to a chelek referred to as kemitza or a chelek referred to as
I'm saying it's not necessarily related only to the befoal performance of kmitza, but it is, I'm trying to have my cake and eat it too, or meaning, on the one hand, there's a lot of evidence that was just presented that psisa is connected to kmitza, and assuming that means more than practically, right, then it then makes, which is what the Rishon already are troubled by, like, so how can you have psisa where you're not going to have kmitza, right? At the same time, you're not, so you have two alternatives. You could say, well, you see from these mikoros, or according to these, Tanaim, or according to Rav Shimon, or according to whoever, that, that has nothing to do with kmitza, because it's not kmitza, and there's no shirai. Or you could suggest, especially if you think that the process itself along the way, and then identifying a kmitza, having impact on the rest, is also a kiyum and not just an unfulfilled, a maximal, kiyum of kmitza, then you could suggest that undergoing the process is symbolically significant, showing, oh, you have in this mincha, it's a general din in mincha, but it's a din in mincha that is connected to kmitza, but it's connected to kmitza in as a kind of roi l'kmitza idea. And the roi l'kmitza idea is already enough to establish this other kiyum. Not befoal, but in, that's a suggestion.
But that wouldn't have anything, to use the term shirayim by Menachas Kohen.
No one's saying that there's shirayim. We're saying that the tchilas kmitza,
exists by
Menachas Kohen because it shows that the potential through an actual achilas habizbeach to create a mishulchan gavoa kazach, if you want to put it that way, just to make it pithier, that's something that a Menachas Kohen has and would value too, except that in the end of the day, the urgency or the opportunity of kolil kulo on the mizbeach overrides that, so you just don't have it lemaisa. But the process of doing that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I
think that's similar to what you're saying.
Yeah.
I don't want to.
So
I'm not saying there's an actual shirayim. I'm saying you go through this, meaning whatever you want to say. Forget about what I'm saying. Now, objectively, there remains like a difficulty that that you're addressing, and that is, why, if a lot of evidence, seems compellingly to establish that psisa, that this process produces kmitza, so how come you have it in cases where it doesn't? Right. So the answer is either those shitos don't hold this way, or no shitos hold that way because these shitos show that it isn't true, or the alternative to those two things is to say, yes, there's the process of potentially producing kmitza has a certain value separate from the actual befoal kmitza itself. So that's the explanation of that. Okay.
I recently came across the introduction to Rav Arnold Soloveitchik's Logic of the Heart, Logic of the Mind. And in the introduction, he develops an approach to the difference between halacha and agada. And he has a quote from his mother. He says that one is able to look at the natural world either as a scientist or as a poet. If the scientist will look at a forest, and the scientist will look at each and every tree, will look at each and every leaf, will analyze it, try to understand how it works, what it does, and look at every single little detail and piece it apart. But one could also look at a forest like a poet. Then one could look at the totality of the meaning of the forest and allow the forest to sing for itself. And what he says is that the in so many ways, the lumdus and the halacha represents the scientist. In the way that the scientist is very nitpicky and looks at every single detail and the meaning of it, but what are the applications of it? What are the ramifications of everything, every single detail? So far, we've explored, Baruch Hashem, as lomdim, not a scientist, but as Lomdin, the sugyas of psisa and the way that it expresses itself through the makoros of how it comes out, the share of the psisa, how much of the share there is, the ikob of psisa viachas, the kmitza, the relationship between whether psisa ma'akev, its relationship to kmitza, whether, and then the test cases, the major two cases that we spent time on, is the menchas solis and the menchas kohanim. I'm not even going to go into the shteilechem lelechem apanim and the nuances between why those would not be shayach to psisa, but Amir Tashem, don't worry, I promise we'll be done by Shabbos. Okay, I promise. So at this stage, I want to look at menachos, take a step back and look for at least for a few moments before we get to era from Eli Natan. To at least for a few moments look at menachos no longer as the scientist but as the poet, and allow menachos to sing its own song. But first, a technicality to begin. The Rambam in Hilchos Maisa Karbanos, we saw this Rambam mentions that when you bring the Menchas Chavita in, so you are Chole Kolchala Ba'omid, and the Rav is bothered, why do you do that Ba'omid? There is supposed to be a shear of what the mincha has for. The Kesef Mishnah, which we did not quote before, gives an explanation. He says, Lein Mashkazal Rabbi Nerdish, Temashal Rabbi, Nomi de Garcino, Meparak Shtei Midos. He has a Gemara. Pezayim Aviz, that boy Mine Rami Barchama Mirachista Chavite Kohen Gadol B'mam Mechalkam, B'yado B'kli. That when you split the Chavite Kohen Gadol, how do you do so? With your hand or with a kli? So he says, Pshita D'biyad. It's obvious that you do so with your hand. D'bikli Tortani Yachnis. That you're being machnis, some aspect of a klala, of a curse, into the mincha. The Yachnis, okay? So put in the be machnis. It says, no. That since it is biklala, it's ksiv, that you measure things out, so it's not arach ara, v'zemavora, debrei rabbeinu. So he says the makor of the Rambam, that's what he's alluding to, the fact that you do it biyad. V'lo b'kli, the fact that he does biomed is alluding to the fact that you do it biyad, because when a person splits with your hands, you're not going to split something so precisely. When you split something with a cup, with a measuring cup, so then you are going to split something. You're going to split it very precisely. So that's a technical element of a way to explain the machlokas, the Rambam, the Ravid. More broadly, one of the ideas and the concepts that I think certainly comes out from this sugya, and I think comes out from the rest of Menachos as well, and we're going to harken back to a few early chaburas. One of them is going to be Noah's, and we'll go back to hopefully a point for Rashatra's chabura as well. But that a lot of the asiyas menachos, specifically in terms of menachos over zvachin, expresses the individual's control over the chetza shel hakrava. The mashenke by zvachin, which is already more misyaches to be a zevach, it's already, okay, in achanami you need shechita, you take away you kill it as a part of the avodah, you take the dam. But there's less of a kiddush required, there's less of an asiyah required, even just before you get the mincha, you need niloshes beposher, and you need chita. To get to chita is a whole process. Before chita, you take the isa, and then the chalos, and there's a constant expression of control, of human involvement, that is a part of the seder avodas ha-mincha, mitchila mamash ad hasof. So one of the ideas that I think is expressed in a number of places is the way that lechem is often associated with both bracha and klala. So the first one is what we just mentioned, this gemara in Menachos that the Kesef Mishnah says the Rambam is based on, which determines that a person is supposed to split the minchas chavit and biyad v'lo b'kli, because you have to avoid the simen klala. What's that simen klala? So we'll turn to the source 85, skipping a few makaros. The pasuk in the klala in Parshas Bechukose says, b'shivri lechem ate lechem, be an issue with the lechem, that 10 women will bake their bread in one oven together, and they'll have to return the lechem b'mishkal, they'll have to mishkal, shikol, they'll have to measure every precisely exactly how much lechem everyone will get, they'll eat it, but they won't even be satisfied. So Rashi both there, and the Rashbam highlights the ways that this is being described. It's gonna rot, it's going to break in the oven, it's going to fall apart, and then they're going to sit, they're gonna have to piece them together and measure it out to be able to feed everyone who wants the mincha. Even so, you're gonna eat it, won't be satisfied. The way the stomach will digest and process the food itself will have a klala. And he says the Rashbam on the pasuk ki mishka if you let tanner that they will have to bring it to the oven in a very specific and precise measurement. The mishka shivu la'achilu lebailim, and so too they'll have to bring it back to the bailim in order to give them to eat. Ki mishka b'tzimtzum yachlu, that in a very precise way they will have to eat because that's their resources will be so limited. The idea of lechem being the source of klala is highlighted in Yechezkel Perek Dalet. I'm not going to read through the whole all of psukim over here, but multiple psukim describing different ways that lechem, specifically food, just in the end, that there will be v'yomer elayb and adam and yishover matzah lechem v'yerushalayim, that there's going to be some problem with the bread. Yerushalayim v'achlu lechem b'mishkal, they will eat the lechem, again that word b'mishkal in a precise measurement. Uvedayago with fear. Again, klala, that's happening. That there will be a lack of lachem v'mayim. And Rashi over there says that similar anshei matzor hayireim in arav ochlem b'mishkal v'shos b'mishar. That people who are afraid of famine eat in a very, very limited and precise way. They measure everything and they're very precise in terms of how they're going to eat. As a result from this, Rachman Aslam, people who struggle with an eating disorder, these psukim actually are reminiscent of some of the qualities that are present within Rachman Aslam, very mamish sakonas nefashos areas of eating disorders. But the point of transition between the klala and the bracha is the Gemara Pesachim. Davar acher lechem oni. Ani ksiv, ma ani darko bepruso, just like an ani is darko what by creating a prusa. You said a piece, so lasom psisim. Av kan bepruso, so too, at the Seder we eat bepruso. And here we go further to Simon Brachel, psukim in the Chayesara, that when Yitzchak marries Rivka, vihis vatihi, loli isha, and then vayinachem Yitzchak achre imo, chazal, brings out in Rashi that there were three brachos returned, the middle one, bracha mitzvah the isa, that there's bracha in the isa. So to the Mishnah in Avos, talks about the unique nisim, lo nimtza psul ba'omer v'shtei alechem lechem aponim, there was never a psul. In the omer v'shtei alechem lechem aponim, the Gemara in Chagiga, talks about that the lechem aponim were a specific way that the ruuchi baskam l'fnei amakam, that on the regalim, the only regalim would be shown the lechem aponim, and they would say, Ruchi Baskam Lefnei Malkam, see that you are beloved to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Siluko Kisiduro, that it maintains its freshness, the warmth from the time it is put on the Shulchan to the time it is removed. The Gemara in Yuma highlights how the Lechem Aponim served both as a Siman Bracha and Klala, both sides of the coin. The Rabbim Shana Shashime Shimon Hatzadik HaYagoral B'minyan, the Gemara here highlights a list of many things that Shimon Hatzadik, when he was Shemesh as a Kohen Gadol, things that were present during his time. But once he left, so then they were taken. When he was around, there was a bracha. The Omer Shtei Alech Melech Lapanim. The Kol Kohen Shemegiyo Kizayis, Yish Ochlo Sava, Yish Ochlo Melser. That any Kohen who would get just the Kizayis, they would eat it, they would be satisfied. Someone would eat it, they would even have left over. There was a klala. In the Omer Shtei Alechem Alechem Aponim V'chol HaKohen Magiyo Kapul, the Kohanim would only receive a small amount. Hatznuma Moshchem Esidem V'Garganim Nolim V'Ochlim Mamais V'Echad, etc. The Gemara says that even those that would the Tznuim, they would say, I'm not getting it, I'm not being satisfied from this, I'm not going to take anything. The Garganim would try to eat, and even so they wouldn't be satisfied from it. So the lechem itself, and specifically the lechem that we have in the Beis Hamikdash, expressing both bracha and klala. The next Mishnah says that kol menachos tunasholosh meos shifa v'chamesh meos beita, that all the menachos require shifa beita, which Rashi explains means that you basically do something with machlokas Rabbi Yosi or bebatzik, either bechita or bebatzik, something that you're doing to it to again highly process a high level of human involvement in shaping and forming exactly the way that this lechem will turn out is highlighted by Shifa. What's Shifa? So if you look at the Rambam Parash Mishnayis, he says, Shifa, nixar min yeshuv karosh. This comes from the pasuk which says, yeshuv karosh. What's yeshuv karosh? Pasuk in Bereshis. Ve'eva ashis b'incha avin ha'esha. The klala that the nachash receives as a result of the cheder leitz hadas, that there will be a great animosity between you, Uvein Ha'isha, Uvein Zaracha, and between her offspring, Uvein Zarah, Hu Yeshufcha Rosh. He will be Yeshufcha, will be Shofech, something, whatever, that we'll have to figure out what this word means in this context. V'atatu Shufena Akev. And you will to Shufena Akev. We'll go into a couple of explanations. But more than that, before we figure out exactly what that pasuk is and how it relates to Shifas HaMincha, and more broadly, the Asiyas HaAdam that goes into shaping the shaping Lechem and shaping Menachos. So let's take a look at just one pasuk, the whole Todos HaShamayim V'Aretz Bihi Baram and Parak Beis, Adam 2. Pasuk Vav says the Eid Yalim and Aretz V'Hishkas Peneha Adama, that there was some liquid, whatever, I don't know exactly what it was, that the Hishka is Kol Penei HaAdama, that through that it sustained all of the Adama. Says Rashi, V'idya, L'alini Briyaso Shel Adam. We're not talking about the formation of the earth, but talking about the Briya of Adam. Hela as Hata'om, Hishka Ananim, Lishros Ha'ofer, V'nibra Adam. K'gavol Zesh, Shenasen Mayim, V'achar Kach, Lashes Ha'isa. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the formation of man, combined elements from Aretz U'Shamayim, Shemayim va'aretz, kegavol zeh, the way a person forms a dough, forms an isa, shenosin mayim, where you add in mayim v'achar kach lush as a isa, and then you lush, afkan v'hishka v'achar kach v'yitzer. So to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, first he was hishka, he put in the mayim, and then only afterwards v'yitzer was able to form man. Rashi has a couple other explanations as well. Shekol makom shiyama shante kol tasa l'kvura, that he takes offer from Arba Kanfas Haaretz in order that any makam will be the Kfura, but then also from the Mizbeach. Mizbeach Adama Ta'asali. They make a Mizbeach from what? From earth. Amar Halavai Vatielo Kapara V'yuchal Lamur. That Halavai Adam will be able to have a Kapara and will be able to stand before me. The Medrash and Bereshis has something extremely fascinating relevant to this week's Parsha Shalach, where we're given the mitzvah of challah. And it's very noteworthy to try to figure out the yisodos, some of the yisodos that we've developed, the uniqueness of the mitzvah of challah and the way that it's given as a response to the chid of the meraglim. And a very, very fascinating nekuda that struck me as I was looking at the fact that this week is Parsha Shalach and has challah, and we're talking about Psiyas HaSa Mincha. But the Medr says, why is highlighting a lot of the nuances between the mitzvahs? Men have the mitzvahs that are given specifically to women, one of them being challah. Why did challah go as a mitzvah that is associated more with women? Because through it, in some way, through the chita, one of the deos in Chazal, the tzadas being a chita, she was mekalkal adam arishon, who was what? Gemar chalaso shal olam. Who was the completion of what? The challah of the world. Lefikach nitan la mitzvah challah. Therefore, that's why she was given the mitzvah of challah. So returning to the pasuk, Hu Yeshufcha Rosh V'Atatu Shufena Akev, again the whole dialogue between the Nachash and Chava, leading to the chait, the response that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to the Nachash is that Hu Yeshufcha Rosh V'Atatu Shufena Akev, Rashi says, what is Yeshufcha? I mean, Yekascha. You know, I crush you. In a way, very similar to what actually happens by Psisa, that you split up the Mincha into its individual ideas. Perhaps more broadly, you'll exert control. That Hu Yeshuv Charosh, Adam will have the ability to exert his control over you. That he will have some ability to crush or control you. That the Nachash will not stand upright, but will slither along the ground, and thereby will bite Adam by his heel, in the akiv. And now, the final section, Shmiras Torah Mitzvos and the Messianic Mincha. If you look at the targumim on this pasuk are fascinating. So Davu Ashvi Bein Chovin Itzsa, so far the same as what we would have translated on our own and uncle us, that there's animosity between men and between the Nachash and between mankind, Ovein Benach, Ovein Benah, Hu Yehei Dechir Mad Avda Slei Mil Kadmin. He'll always remember what you did to him in the days of the original days. Ve'atehi Natar Leilusofe, and you will also guard onto it until the end. not doesn't you know adds something interesting, not so much for us. Targum Yonasan, the Targum Yerushalmi, we read from Yonasan, adds something very interesting. It says in the underline, "Mihi kad yohon bina da asa natan mitzvas da reisa," when her children and the children of Chava are guarding the mitzvahs of the Torah, yohon mechavnin umachin yaseich al roshich, they will be able to crush you and control you and take you by the head. But when they abandon the mitzvos, you will be able to bite them in the ankle, baram, and be able to rule over them. Baram lahon yehe lahon yehe also, that for them, for bnei adam, there will be also means a tikkun, there will be a refuah. V'lecha lo yehe also, but for you, the nachash, for the yetzer hara, there will not be a refuah. Vasida an ino lamevad shefusa be'ikvad biyoma malka mashicha. And in the future, ino lamevad shefusa be'ikvad biyoma malka mashicha. In some way, there will be some way that Adam will more prominently rule over you on the be'ikvasa, that same word, on the ekev, on the doorstep, the foot of Mashiach. I think it's very noteworthy. Now, the word that's used, of course, Yaakov, being the namesake of Yisrael, is also a word that is highlighted in Sefer Devarim in Parshas Ekev, Bahaya Ekev Tishmon, Rashi and Chazal Darshan from Ekev Tishmon, that in my mitzvos akalos she'adam dosh what? Ba'akevav, Tishmon. And even the mitzvos that a person isn't fully able to understand, isn't fully to comprehend, and therefore is negligible on them, and dosh ba'akevo, when that happens, very similar to what the Targum is saying, that Hu Yeshuv Charosh V'Atatu Shufena Akev, that when Adam Arishon becomes lax in their approach to Torah mitzvos in all of its details and all of its nuances and applications, when he becomes lax in that department, so then Atatu Shufena Akev, then you'll be able to bite at the heel. B'nefesh ki sakriv lo nemar nefesh b'chol harkarbonos nadav ala b'mincha. This Maramakam was highlighted quite a number of times. Midarko lisnadev mincha ani. Amar kadosh baruch hu malani alav kiilu hikrav nashon. Likewise, the Gemara. Nemar bola olarech nichalach echan amar bevech anamen uvavad sheyichavim libo l'shamayim. Rav Shachter, the first Chabura, I just was looking through the notes from the early Chaburas to look back for some of the Yisodos that came out. I noticed I had a note from Rav Shachter on the Zemiros of Shabbos. Hashomer Shabbos habeinim abbas. Rav Shachter asked that why we say one who guards Shabbos, the son together with the daughter, Lakal Yeratzu, will be desired by Hashem, kemincha al machavas, like a mincha on a machavas. So Rav Shachter said, why should this be true? And he explained based on a couple of the marmakos we just pointed out, that Echad Amar Bevechad Amamet, the Ani, you know, also quoted some marmakos that indicate that a person when a person struggles in the battle between the Yetzer Hara, the Yetzer HaTov, and is trying to enable the Torah mitzvos to rule over the Yetzer Hara and able to shape and form their outlook, their life, their perspective, their actions, and every element and fiber of their being. So that happens through the Torah mitzvos, but often a person is on their own level is an ani. There's so much more that they could be striving for in the ruchniyah, so much more that they could be striving for in their avodas Hashem, and certainly, especially when it comes to Shmir Shabbos, as much as a person knows about Hilchos Shabbos, so there's always more to know. There's always details. There's always a lapse of awareness that a person will likely violate some Hilchos Shabbos on some level. So many of us are a ben and a bas when it comes to Shabbos, because the halachos are karurim atulim b'sayro, they're so vast, they're so endless. And to fully say with confidence that it was Shomer Shabbos with all of its details, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be mekabel l'kal yiratzu k'mincha al machavas. A mincha where it says nefesh, where it says reach nichovach achan amar be'achan amamid uvavad yishichav en libo l'shamayim. That whether the person is marba or mamet, as long as the person is mechavin libel shamayim and is on the trajectory towards growth, towards accomplishing more, towards continuing to shape every element of their life in a way that is consistent with the values laid out by the Torah, so in that way, then l'kal yiratzu, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu desires, k'mincha amachavas. I think it's a message, certainly, to reflect on here as we have the official close. This, you know, we'll not see him in the formal sense, but see him in the see him hazman of Menachos. We allow we allow Maseches Menachos to sing for itself. We allow the way that we ourselves, Lord Menachos, I know I can only speak on behalf of myself, where we certainly have a vision of what Menachos will look like, a vision of what our year will look like, of what our limud will look like. And sometimes it's Echad Amarbe, sometimes it's unfortunately Echad Amamet. Sometimes we were there as much as we wanted to be, we were able to accomplish as much as we wanted to be. It's a Marbe, it's a Mamet. But hopefully, together with the Chevra, certainly, you know, the sentiments that I opened up with, of being in a room on a weekly basis with individuals who, without exaggeration, have very real and meaningful and constructive conversations with everyone in the room throughout the year, and to the Chevra that's on their way out. And Yemirat Hashem, the conversations and the relationships will continue. For Yemirat Hashem, not just within the walls of the Beis Medrash, but beyond. For the ability to continue to shape each other, to shape our outlook, to shape our perspectives, our actions, and everything that we do through the context of Kedusha, of Kachin, the context of the details of all of the nuances and intricate details that are spelled out in the halachic system, in the words of Rav Ron Soloveitchik, quoting from his mother, in the way the scientist analyzes every leaf in the forest. So too, we should continue to be zocha to analyze every single leaf, every daf of Yuvamos, every daf of the rest of Shas, and Yemirat Hashem, over the course of the rest of our lives. With that in mind, it's a real pleasure to introduce someone who I appreciated tremendously and got to know really over the course of this year. You know, he was around for the past couple years, but we had this chus to get to know Eli Natan, who is certainly an individual that encompasses so much of all of these values of being an extremely broad individual who's one of the few people. There's some issues that I've definitely been involved in recently, conceptual issues, philosophical issues, and there's who do you turn to? Eli Natan is really one of the people that I've turned to for a number of the musings and amusings that I've just had to share with someone. Eli Natan was the right guy. With that in mind, it's really a tremendous privilege to introduce Eli Natan to say a few words.